Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. Today is a great show. This is the Texas candidates runoff fair here on the Michael Behrman Show. It is 2 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Michael Behrman. I've got my special bud, my brother from another mother, in the producer's chair, Mr. Scott Osborne. We're going to bring him in just a minute. He's contending for Truth Radio, a good, wholesome Christian conservative patriot radio show. He is helping me with the show today. Thank you, brother. I'll bring you in just a minute, folks. Gosh, we've got a lineup today, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I have worked hard to bring this to Texas conservative grassroots Tea Party 912 Liberty activists. We've got at 3:15, we've got Dan Patrick. At 3:30, we've got Ken Paxton. At 3:45, Wayne Christian. At 4 p.m., Sid Miller. At 4:15, Miss Connie Burton. At 4:30, Mr. Michael Quinn Sullivan. At 4:45, Eric Morum. Morum. Bob Hall. At 5:15, John Ratcliffe. At 5:30, Steve Toth. And at 5:45, Ralph Gonzalez of the Conservative Coalition of Navarro County. Speaking of which, I'm going to open up the show today with my monologue, which will be my speech next Saturday from about 10:55 to about 11:20 in Corsicana. I'm going to take some of it out because it's about a 2,500-word essay that I wrote that I'm speaking on called The Spirit of Texas Patriots. You know, and it starts out like this, folks. I am a conservative grassroots activist, Tea Party activist, liberty activist, call it what you will. I call myself a traditional American. I believe in those principles, those governing beliefs of federalism as prescribed by our founding fathers. I believe a more accurate description of me is I am a federal, a Frederick Douglass Republican. I believe in, and I believe our country should adhere to, the four life-empowering principles that Frederick Douglass subscribed to. And those are respect for the Constitution, respect for life, belief in limited government, and belief in personal responsibility. These are just not the beliefs of Frederick Douglass, patriots. They're the basic principles of conservative philosophy. But, you know, patriots, after my friend Carol Doucette of Navarro County Tea Party suggested to Beverly Chabayan that I speak next Saturday, I thought long and hard about what I was going to speak about. What was the essay I was going to write? I prayed on it, I slept on it, and God answered my call. You see, patriots, next Saturday when I'm standing down there in Navarro County, I'm going to be standing in a county in which two fourth great grandfathers buried all of their children, all of their children's children, and so on and so forth. My mother spent her youth with my great-grandmother and my great-great-grandmother down there in Corsicana. My grandfather, Pinkston Galloway, was born down there in Navarro County in Drain. My mother and my sister, both of whom will be with me, we are sons and daughters of the Republic of Texas. And God spoke to me and he said, Michael, next Saturday, today on this show, before all these great patriots come on, is the day to honor your family and the families of so many great Texans whose families secured freedom for us from Mexico, who fought against tyranny and a centralist tyrant, who broke the federal compact, usurped the Constitution, and nullified the laws under which our antecedents came to Texas. Let me make sure I'm still on the air here. Yeah, I think I am. Someone text me or message me in the thing if they're hearing me fine. Usurped the Constitution and nullified the laws under which our antecedents came to Texas. And he said, convey the message that as their generation fought for freedom, so must ours. So today, folks, along with our great lineup, I'm going to tie our history to the struggle of our patriot ancestors and who fought to give us freedom and tie us to them in 2014. Mary, I got your direct message, but it's in symbols, dear. Check the font that you use. This chat board's kind of funny. Fellow Texans, fellow patriots, 190 years ago, our pioneering antecedents arrived into Texas. They were invited to the Mexican government, and they settled under the Constitution of 1824, a constitution modeled after the American Constitution and laws guaranteeing them rights and privileges that constituted an inducement to leave the land of their birth and seek a home among strangers. And as long as the American population who came to Texas and became Mexican citizens as bona fide as though they were born on the soil were permitted to enjoy those rights and immunities guaranteed to them by the Constitution. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it, sweetie. Good lady right there. That's a good patriot. The people of Texas, our ancestors were quiet and content and wanted to obey the laws of the land. But when that Constitution under which the Americans had been invited into Texas was subverted by violence and a military despotism erected upon the ruins of the Federal Union, the people of Texas met in solemn convention and declared their determination not to submit to that lawless usurpation. Much like we're doing today, patriots, much like we'll do next Saturday, much like we did down in Martindale, much like every time we exercise our First Amendment rights, we're saying to Santa Ana Day Barack Obama that we're not going to live under tyranny. Now, did our ancestors make any declarations or pick up arms against their government at first. Not until Santa Anna had invaded the country at the head of a formidable army threatening the extermination of the Anglo-Americans and our Tejano brothers within the limits of Texas, who were prepared to defend their freedom until victory or death. Victory or death. A threat that Santa Anna carried out with precision. From those events in the battles of Anahuac and Nacogdoches in 1832, to the Battle of Gonzales in 1835, to the Alamo and Goliad in March of 1836, it's from those events, those bloody battles, and men like Bowie, Travis, Bonham, Crockett, Juan Ambio, Jose Esparza, Antonio Fuentes, Fanon, Milam, and many other noble hearts who gave their lives in the cause of human liberty, that the events of April 21st, 1836 occurred, when under the command of General Sam Houston, they would defeat Santa Anna and his army at San Jacinto. The Texans took the lives of 630 Mexicans, regulars, and captured 730, a number that totaled more than the Texas Army. The fortunes of war also placed the author of all their troubles and calamities, Santa Anna himself, in the possession of the Texans. But instead of sacrificing him to the spirit of revenge, as was their right, the Texans instead set him free along with his countrymen. And the Texans, they won their independence. They secured our future. Here we are 178 years later. I'll be in Navarro County, a place where I've got two family cemeteries, Campbell Elrod and Drain, and Marshall Cemetery in Purdon, speaking about patriotism in the shadow of my fourth great-grandfathers, who fought at San Jacinto, both who came to Texas in 1828, swore allegiance to Mexico, and they themselves were content to live peacefully, but soon found themselves picking up arms against their country because their rights were being subverted. We find ourselves at the crossroads of American exceptionalism down one path and American mediocrity down the other. In 2014, we, the descendants of those brave men and women, find ourselves under the rule of another centralist, a man who is consolidating and centralizing power in the District of Columbia, a man who is usurping our Constitution, nullifying and subverting our laws that he made an oath to uphold, and that man is Santa Anna de Barack Obama. Our struggle is not so unlike our ancestors. I pray heaven in all its wisdom and all its mercy to help us avert the calamity that is sure to follow in its train if we keep on our present course. And our so-called leaders on our side, where are they? They've abandoned the ship. They have left us adrift in the rough waters of the sea while the storm is gathering and brewing, only to seek a safe retreat in the smooth waters and safety of the harbor of failure. They equivocate, they compromise, they bamboozle, and they play games with their procedural votes when the likes of Senator Ted Cruz has stood up, simply to get the vote on procedure done, get the vote up, and vote against it, and then play games with us. They've rigged the system so that it's nearly impossible to go up against them, but yet they fear us patriots. The Karl Roves of America fear an educated base because we know we see through, they know we see through their smoke and mirrors. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, they tell us. No, thank you. No, thank you, Karl Rove. I'm paying attention. And I vet. And I work like my buddy Morgan McComb and so many other great people, Mary, who get out there, walk blocks. They drive from wherever they're at in Texas, 200 miles away to work for one of our candidates will be with us today, Steve Todd. It's not enough to get out and vote, folks. We've got to do more. We're going to lose our country. We're going to lose it if we don't get more people motivated. Hey, look, Scott, we're up against the soft break. Let's take it real quick. Senator Patrick should be called. Well, we've got a second here. Scott, come on in. Scott, we've got a few seconds here before we need to take our soft break. Sorry, my monologue went a little long.
Hey, it's all right, brother. Looking forward to this. This is going to be great. I, too, am a Frederick Douglass Republican. I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican because Frederick Douglass was a hurdle jumper. And the difference between the right and the left is the left wants to remove your hurdles, and the right wants to teach you to jump over them. You know, Frederick Douglass, he turned around and he looked at that slave that said, don't teach him how to read or you'll ruin him, and said, right on, that's my way out of here, is to learn how to read. And that's what it's all about, Michael. Great monologue. You're right. If we don't wake up, we're going to lose this thing. Right back at you.
All right, brother. Well, you know, and I guess where I was going with the monologue is the guest we have on today, Dan Patrick, Ken Paxton, Wayne Christian, Sid Miller, Connie Burton, Michael Quinn Sullivan, Eric Maroon, Bob Hall, John Ratcliffe, Steve Toth, Ralph Gonzalez. These guys, to me, in my mind, are the equivalent of the Bowies, the Crocketts, the Travises, the Ambios, the Fuentes, and all of those Anglo-American and Tejano patriots that fought to secure the way that we now see eroding.
Oh, exactly. And that's what each one of these represent, is they're willing to fight. And that's what we've got to do at this point. You know, we're not just sitting around voting right now. We're fighting for the future of this country. And when we've got candidates like this that are willing to stand up and fight for what we believe in, then we've got it made. That's why we've got to work on each one of them.
All right, brother, let's take this quick soft break. Senator Patrick should be calling in right about now, so stand by.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
My name is Julie Boonstra, and 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with leukemia. I found out that I only have a 20% chance of surviving. I found this wonderful doctor and a great healthcare plan. I was doing fairly well, fighting the cancer, fighting the leukemia. And then I received the letter. My insurance was canceled because of Obamacare. Now the out-of-pocket costs are so high, it's unaffordable. If I do not receive my medication, I will die. I believed the president. I believed I could keep my health insurance plan. I feel lied to. It's heartbreaking for me. Congressman Peters, your decision to vote for Obamacare jeopardized my health. It is time to listen to me. It is time to listen to the other American citizens out there who are hurting. This is serious. It's not a game. Congressman Peters, Obamacare is not the answer.
If Sam Houston, Travis, Bowie, and Austin were here today, they would be proud of Texas, but they'd be ashamed of Washington. Illegal immigration is Washington's responsibility, but it's our problem.
Dan Patrick is the only candidate for lieutenant governor to oppose in-state tuition for illegal immigrants.
I'll do what Washington won't do. I'll secure our border, and I'll end sanctuary cities. And I'll never stop fighting against Obama's attacks on Texas.
Secure the border. Fight Obama. Dan Patrick for lieutenant governor.
And you're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
All right, and it is 17 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Michael Berryman on The Michael Berryman Show at ConservativeNationMedia.com. I believe we've got our first guest on. It's my great honor, my greatest privilege. I was calling for this gentleman to run for the lieutenant governor of Texas before he threw his hat in the ring. I've followed this man for years. I believe in him. I believe in what he's done. I believe in his record. You know, they say not all candidates are perfect, and I'm not claiming that Senator Patrick is perfect, but he's darn near close. There's not one issue I've found where I segue with him. Senator Patrick, is that you? Senator Patrick, are you
Hello?
On?
No, this is not Senator Patrick.
You there,
Patrick.
Sir? The call in here. What would you like to add to this?
Well, you know what? I think you really laid it out well, Michael. This is about keeping Texas as Texas, and that goes back to the history of Texas. That goes back to the fighting that we've done to keep liberty here. You know, on a lot of my shows, I go back to the summer of 1787 and the fight that the people in Philadelphia during that Continental Congress gave to give us the Constitution so that we could continue to have the freedom and liberty for future generations. And we've got one side of politics right now that wants to take that away from us. And we've got some candidates on here, of course, Connie Burton, I love her dearly, Sid Miller, I think is one of the greatest statesmen. I'm looking forward to getting to know some of the rest of these guys. But let me tell you, these guys are in the fight for our lives. This isn't 20 years ago when we were just voting Republican against Democrat. We are voting right now, for the most part, Republican, conservative, against socialist. In many places, and we're fighting for the heart of Texas in a lot of these races. And folks, I want to encourage you, I want to encourage the listener to listen to these candidates, listen to what they have to say, and then go act on it. Help them out if you can. Go help them tweet a little bit. Go help them Facebook a little bit. Donate to their campaigns if you can. Get out and walk the block with them if you can. Biggest and most importantly, pray for them if you can. And, Michael, I'm looking forward to hearing these guys from the perspective we a lot of times don't hear out of the 30-second soundbite. But I'm looking forward to hearing who the person is, who the heart of the individual is, what their character is.
Well, I just got a message where the senator's tied up, so we're hoping he calls in. He is aware that he's got the show today. Look, folks, he's tied up down there doing some, doing campaigning. We're in the middle of a Texas runoff. And, Scott, as you now know, Texas politicking is it's quite intense. But, you know, as I was saying before that call came in that I thought was the senator – I vetted this man. I know him personally. He has been so gracious to my wife and I and our family. I was calling on him to run. You know, he authored the sonogram bill. He has been working hard on bills to do away with sanctuary cities, to toughen up our borders. He was the first man in Austin to pick up the call when friends of ours had a problem with C-Scope, and we found that it was being indoctrinated into our various education regions. So, you know, I know Senator Patrick. I know what I didn't endorse a man that I don't. I know all of the candidates that are coming on today, every single one of them. I've met and talked with every single one of them, and I know what they stand for. And today is, you know, we're going to have a question for them. It's not about hardballing or softballing. We don't need to do that, Scott, because we've already done that. We've already asked those questions of Dan Patrick, of Ken Paxton, of Wayne Christian, Sid Miller, Connie Burton, and all the others that are coming, going to be on this show today. We're going to have a question for them each just to hit a couple of bullet points, but this is so that our listeners today can get to know these candidates that we know, that we have taken the time and effort to vet and proudly support and do everything we can do for them.
Exactly. Go ahead, Scott. And you know, I think that's your and I's job, Michael. We're cheerleaders. I don't know as many of these guys as you do, but I've gotten to know some of them, and that's one of the reasons I'm loving Texas politics. It's small town here, even though we're in a giant state. There's a closeness here, and boy, Texas politics is fun, folks. Get out there and help these guys. We are fighting. The Republicans are right now fighting hard because the Democrats want to take this state. They want to take this state like Colorado did. And I really personally think the road they went down is going to go backwards. It's going to backfire on them. But we got to help make them sure that it backfires all the way back. 3 years ago, Michael, you and I got to know each other. And we got to know each other through Herman Cain. And we got to know each other through fighting for our rights and our liberties because we believed in a man. And so that's what we're doing here this morning. Go to these guys' websites and check them out. Vet them like Michael and I have. And then go ahead and help support them. These guys are all in a primary. You know, Michael, I love it. I keep telling everybody on my show, Texas is so big, they're not happy with just a primary and a general election. Got to have three elections. Got to have a runoff in there at the same time. Everything's bigger in Texas. And we've got a runoff on May 28th, but May 29th? And let me tell you, 27th, we got to send the best guys into the battle for this general because in the end, I'm going to tell you, that other side is going to lie, cheat, and steal and do everything that they can to win. And so we got to put our best foot forward. We got to keep marching on. We got to keep on keeping on. That's what it's all about.
Well, and I just got a text. I understand that, Sir Patrick is trying to get himself in a place where he can call in. If something happens and we hit, because we've got a really tight schedule today. I mean, Senator Paxton is in the car now with some friends of ours. Senator Paxton's been busy this morning. He went and had church with our buddy Michelle Smith. He's been at a luncheon with some pastors in the North Texas area. And you know I love me some Ken Paxton. He's on, I mean, right after that Senator Patrick is busy this morning, and he did confirm he was supposed to be here. If he calls in after the show, we'll squeeze him in, because I want folks to get to know Senator Patrick like I know Senator Patrick, but we all understand that the candidates are out busy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, nonstop. Miss Patrick must, I tell you, that she must be a strong lady. I'll have to look it up who it was. One of the wives of, I think Sam Adams or somebody talked about, how these candidates give their lives for their country 24/7 because of what they believe in. So, Senator Patrick is just tied up and he's trying to get to us at the moment, but we've got about 7 minutes. Hopefully he'll get himself where he can call in, Scott. In the meantime, the phone number is 718-305-7176. This is the Michael Berryman Show on Conservative Nation Media. You can find us at conservativenationmedia.com. If you'd like to be on the show today, give us a call. I can't promise that we're going to be able to take every call, but you definitely want to get in the lineup. We'll put you on hold. You can listen to the show through your phone. And if where we can squeeze you in, because, who knows? I mean, I got confirmation from all of these candidates, but with the understanding that, Michael, that if something happens and I'm in the middle of my bank, the is pressed. And I mean, they are literally at functions, jumping in the car with their handlers, and their handlers have graciously made arrangements to get these folks on with me. This is what I do in Texas. This is part of what I do. I do these shows on Sunday in Tarrant County. I decide who I'm going to get behind, and I drive this county, and I do what I can for them. I don't mean to toot my own horn. It's not about tooting my horn. Scott, this is a fight. I was born into America that I don't recognize anymore. Scott, I'm not going to be buried and leave this country in the shape that it's in for my kids and my grandkids, by God. It's just not going to happen.
Amen, brother. Amen. Come and take it. That's all I have to say, liberals. Come and take it.
Let's see who we've got. Go ahead.
I just have to agree with you 100%. I got three nieces that I'm raising that are all three under 12, and I want to pass on to them the same great country that I was raised in, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Back to you, Mike.
Let's see who we've got on this line. I don't know it's the senator. I don't recognize the area code, but while we're waiting on the senator, we'll go ahead and take this phone call. Area code 469, last 3-3158. Who do we got?
This is Sammy Walker calling. I'm a friend of Scott, Michelle Smith, Ken Paxton, all these guys that you're talking about. I know Scott real well too. And
go ahead.
Yeah.
We'll give you the floor while we're waiting for Senator Patrick to call in.
Thank you very much. I was with Paxton night before last, and Sam Johnson. I was at Texas Renewal Project Thursday and Friday with Cruz Abbott. That's Rafael Cruz Abbott and Mrs. Abbott and the. David Martin's a real good friend of mine. I was down there. It was one of the greatest events I've ever seen, trying to get all the pastors and preachers across Texas to get more involved in the process. So afraid of the government that they take away their 501c3 there. They're not going to do it. And I got all the information. I'm going to give it to Scott. And I'm just really excited. I host several things at my restaurant for Patrick, Paxton, was Mr. Bob Halls, my very good friend, John Ratcliffe. I'm kind of like Scott. I'm a cheerleader.
Thanks a lot, Sammy. Hey, I'm going to place you on hold. Stick with us. We'll try to squeeze you back in because I want to know that restaurant. But we got to do this bottom of the hour break, and then got to pull in Senator Paxton. So we'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Hello, my name is Wayne Christian. For a decade and a half, I've served in the Texas House and now seek your vote for Texas Railroad Commission. Our oil and gas is important in Texas, and the Railroad Commission is who will protect us. I was the most conservative legislator in the Texas House, chairman of the Texas Conservative Coalition. I was honored to have a 100% voting record with Texas Eagle Forum, an A-plus of Young Conservatives of Texas, and an A-plus from Texans for Fiscal Responsibility.
What does the Railroad Commission do? It's responsible for the gift of oil and gas and natural resources God has given us in Texas under the ground that no other state enjoys. I grew up in the big city of Tinnehau, Texas, pumping gasoline at my daddy's filling station, so I'm glad to say that as running for your Texas State Railroad Commission, I literally started at the bottom of the industry. We have the Obama administration, the extremist environmental organizations, others that are declaring the lives of lizards, plants, rabbits, and other wild animals as endangered species and stopping production all across Texas. We need to keep Texas the independent miracle that it is. Folks, it's time we stood up and fought, and you need somebody that has been there, done that, and I'm your man.
To get involved, visit our website, christianfortexas.com. Visit us on Facebook and Twitter. And remember, when you go to vote, the only Christian you'll find on the ballot.
And you're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on the ConservativeNationMedia.com.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown.
All right, and it is 31 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Michael Berryman of the Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. I do apologize. Senator Patrick, he's still tied up. If he calls in, we'll certainly try to get him in somewhere. Folks, I apologize. But it's my greatest honor, my greatest privilege, Scott, to bring on our next guest. He's running for Attorney General of the Great Lone Star State, and that would be Senator Ken Paxton. Folks, you can find him at kenpaxton.com. You can tweet for him. I have a huge Twitter campaign going for him at kenpaxtontx. And Senator Paxton, thank you so much. I want to thank Ben. Ben and I talked long ago. Of course, Michelle, my dear sister Michelle, and Ashley Sewell, Texas Trendy Chick, for getting you on today, Senator Paxton. I've got one question for you, and my co-host Scott will have one question for you. But basically today is so that people can get to know you the way I know you. And, you know, if you could just hit quickly the three bullet points on how, as Attorney General, you would help to keep our border secure. Because I just, with demographics changing, we don't need undocumented Democrats. And then I'll let you answer that, and then Scott will ask you his question. And then basically just I want people to know Senator Paxton that I know.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's great to be on. The first thing we need to do is actually enforce the laws we have. And one of the challenges we have is the federal government won't do that job. And as a reaction to that, you had Arizona trying to pass laws locally, statewide, that would allow them to do a lot of what the federal government should have been doing. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court came in and said the state can't do that and preempted their laws, which is interesting because the state was only trying to fill the gap that the federal government wasn't filling. So it's interesting when a state law is preempted because the federal government won't do their job. So it's so one of the things that I think we need to do here is we found a way, we think, to get around preemption. And that was the 287G program, which I tried to pass in the House a term ago. Unfortunately, House leadership killed it. But the 287G program is a federal-state program The feds have already passed it. They passed it in the 90s. It would allow local law enforcement to do a lot more as it relates to basically detaining and helping to deport illegal immigrants from the state of Texas, and to do it without passing or without intruding on federal preemption. And so that was something we sought to do. It's something that I think we should do, and if we had the right leadership in the House and the Senate, I think that's something that should be passed, because it gives our local law enforcement a lot of the tools that Arizona was looking at using, except we would have done it in a way that got around the whole preemption argument. I would also say that we need to just spend more money on our local border security, and we've done some of that. And I know that I think there'll be more efforts if we get the right leadership in both houses to fund more local border security, so that we don't have to worry about deportation or capturing. We just keep people out that are not supposed to be in the state. So I think those are the types of things that actually could be effective. Obviously, it'd be nice to have an administration that would do the job, and they clearly don't care about it. But eventually it all comes down to elections. If we get the right people in the federal office, then our efforts here will be magnified.
Well, that's awesome, Senator Paxton. And that's exactly, you and I have chatted. I've done events for you as a grassroots activist. I think border security is very important. We have an administration that's hostile to states like Arizona and Texas, trying to protect their borders. And Attorney General, I could think of nobody, and I don't mean to sound like a cheerleader, though I am cheerleading, because I vetted you, I believe in you. But Attorney General is an individual, especially for Texas as a border state, that has to lead the charge, like Greg Abbott has done, against the hostile environment in Washington, D.C. Wouldn't you concur?
Oh, absolutely. The main reason that I'm willing to leave the Senate, I felt like we were moving in a direction in the Senate. We had the most conservative Senate we've ever had, at least in my lifetime, this past session. For me to leave that opportunity where we were growing our conservative, senators and our influence, I had to have a pretty important reason. And for me, it was the 10th Amendment and this intrusion and constant struggle with the federal government over both economic and political issues, with the goal of the federal government to be basically to destroy our state, our ability to be economically prosperous, and their goal of trying to move us to become a democratic state. So these 10th Amendment issues that have become more and more prevalent under the Obama administration are the very reason that I am interested and want to go do this job.
Well, Senator Patrick, I'm going to let Scott ask his question now, and then we'd just like to give our remaining time to you to tell us, what we already know and why we believe Texas needs Senator General. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Senator Paxton, it's an honor to have you on here. I just moved to Texas about 3 months ago. Michael will tell you it didn't take long. Sammy will tell you. I love Texas. I'm a proud Texan. We moved here because I've got three young nieces I'm helping raise with my sister, and we moved for one reason, and that one reason can be called Common Core and C-Scope. And I remember last summer while I was fighting C-Scope and Common Core from California, the big news came out 3 months after I found out what it was all about. C-Scope's fallen in Texas. But I move here and I find out it hasn't. We've just really basically rearranged the deck chairs. We're actually out of the frying pan and into the fire. I wasn't dealing with C-Scope in the public schools yet in California. But we are here. I homeschool two, and I've got one in the public schools. What I want to know is, and I know it's not easy, this is a huge fight we're fighting, billions and billions of dollars involved in it, a lot of greed, a lot of deceit. What do we do from here on out to rip, and I don't mean rearrange the deck chairs, I want to rip Common Core, I want to rip C-Scope out by the roots in Texas where it's gone, and where our local school districts and our parents and parental sovereignty is most important. We got down here, my sister is afraid to call into the school to take her daughter out to take a day to the zoo, a straight-A student. It's kind of insane. I've got a big wake-up call, but what do we do from here on out? What does Attorney General Paxton do to make sure we rip this thing out by the roots so it's gone, goodbye, no more playing?
You know, it's interesting. First of all, welcome to Texas. We're glad to have you. We can always use more common sense conservatives in our state. But it's funny that you asked me about that because I was just, my wife's a teacher, and she was just showing me a text she had about this Common Core math problem, and she let me read it, and it was insane. Like, she's a math teacher, and she didn't even understand, nor did I understand what they were trying to teach the kids, some little math principle that made absolutely no sense at all. So, you know, I think what happened last session, a lot of these issues were new to legislators. We were kind of doing our due diligence as we had committee hearing after committee hearing on Common Core and C-SCOPE, and we passed bills to try to eliminate both of them or at least put them under State Board of Education control. I think what we need to do is we need to have another effort to basically put the nail in the coffin to make sure that we're not dealing with C-SCOPE and any of its, you know, half-sisters or whatever, that we are able to stop any future use of C-SCOPE and Common Core in the state.
You know, you mentioned your wife, Senator Paxton. I just real quickly want to say at the Tarrant County Lincoln Day dinner, my wife and I were leaving, and we just got through talking with the candidate running for State Board of Education District 11, my buddy Eric Maroom, and as we were walking out, Mrs. Paxton walked up, and I had a big sticker on for you. I was there, a guest of Senator Patrick, but I had a sticker on for you as well. You know, doing what I do as a grassroots conservative, she walked up and she stuck her hand out and she said, "Michael, I just want to thank you for all you're doing for my husband." She is a great lady. My wife and her chatted for what seemed like forever about education.
Yep, she's very knowledgeable, and I've always said if she could meet everybody, I would never lose.
Well, Senator Paxton, we want to give you the remaining few minutes we have here. Just, you know, we're sitting in the backyard, we're having a cup of water, and you've got 24 or 30 Republicans or grassroots conservatives gathered around you. It's a backyard chat. Let's just get to know Senator Ken Paxton.
You know, I grew up, my father was an Air Force pilot, so I grew up all over the country. I watched him serve. I was never able to go into the military because of physical issues, but I have always wanted to serve, and I've had this great opportunity to serve in the greatest state, you know, in the greatest country. And it's been at a time, I think, when things have been dramatically changing nationally, and where Texas has become more and more of a focal point and more important, and how Texas gets governed will determine really how this country goes. And so as we're sitting here and we're thinking about, for the first time in over a decade, potentially electing all new statewide office holders, or at least most statewide office holders, it's critical that the voters of this state make the right choice in these runoffs, because the people that we elect are going to determine not just the fate of Texas, but I think they're going to have a dramatic impact on the entire country. And so as people are thinking about whether they're going to vote or not, and whether they're going to be educated on how they vote, I would encourage them, one, to make sure that they vote and they get their family members out to go vote, and that they get their friends out to vote, but also that they don't just listen to the rhetoric, because everybody running in the primary is going to sound the same. They're all going to be against Obama. They're all going to be conservative. But we've seen that dog and pony show before. Barack Obama came out as supposedly a moderate centrist type candidate, but if you looked at his record, there was nothing in it that suggested he was anywhere close to what he was talking about. And we have that same thing going on in the Republican primary. And so I would encourage people to compare my record to my opponent's. And for 12 years, you'll see that both on fiscal and social issues, we are dramatically different. He's much more moderate to liberal. I've been a consistent conservative for 12 years. And when you have an attorney general making the types of decisions that we're going to have to make in the coming years, you want somebody that has a framework, a conservative framework, making those decisions, and somebody that has a history of making the right decisions. And so what I always tell people, the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. And in my case, I think that's why so many conservative organizations, almost every conservative organization and leader in the state, has endorsed me and my campaign.
Well, Senator Paxton, thank you so much. God bless you for standing up. For all of us folks, you know, I do what I do. Scott does what he does because we believe in the candidates we get behind, but if not for you actually getting out there and doing it, we'd have no voice, and you're our voice. And thank you for joining us today. Thank you for standing up for Texas and for conservative values. You know I'm at your disposal. All Ben has to do or Michelle has to do, which they do very often, is send me a message and I'm on it. They'll put the leash on me or they'll take the leash off me when they need to. So thank you so much, sir. God bless you and your family. And thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me on, and thank you for your hard work for the cause.
Thank you, sir. Folks, we're at the bottom of the hour. We've got my friend, longtime friend on up next, Wayne Christian. We'll be right back.
Are the president's kids more important than yours? Then why is he skeptical about putting armed security in our schools when his kids are protected by armed guards at their school? Mr. Obama demands the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes, but he's just another elitist hypocrite when it comes to a fair share of security, protection for their kids, and gun-free zones for ours.
He's become a leading national voice defending our Second Amendment rights and fighting Obama's attacks on Texas gun owners. Dan Patrick.
This is America, and our Constitution gives us the right to bear arms. This is not Tokyo. This is not Finland. This is the United States of America. Hmm. And in America, where law-abiding citizens have guns, crime is down.
Fight Obama. Defend our Second Amendment rights. Dan Patrick for Lieutenant Governor.
In the race for Attorney General, there's only one constitutional conservative like Ted Cruz.
Ken Paxton stands and fights, whether it's against Obamacare, whether it's fighting for voter ID, or whether it's fighting to defend our religious liberty. And I'm proud to say Ken Paxton is my friend and fighting hard for the state of Texas.
Ken Paxton, endorsed by Texas Right to Life, A-rated by the NRA, he'll defend our Constitution.
You're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man.
All right, and this is the Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. It's 47 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number, 718-305-7176. This is our special Texas Candidates Fair. My brother from Mother Mother, Scott Osborne, is in the producer's chair today, and it is my great honor. You're going to hear me say this a lot today, Patriots. And I mean it for every single candidate. But this is one candidate I've known for 3 years now. This gentleman I met down in front of the Alamo the first time I put on my kilt, painted my face like a Texas flag, and stood up and in Texas summer heat in July. And I love this man. I've enjoyed fellowship with him, celebrating our God. And he's running for Texas Railroad Commissioner. Most folks, unfortunately, Wayne, don't understand what Railroad Commissioner does. I understand it, folks. We need a fighter that's going to stand up against the left and the EPA. This is our lifeblood, folks. Gas, oil and gas, and agriculture. And that's why I am proud to support the man I believe in, why Conservative Nation Media endorsed a long time ago, my brother, Wayne Christian. Wayne, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, brother, I'm blessed, and it's an honor to be with you, and thank you for the fight and communicating our message. Ken, the great gentleman you just interviewed, is a great fighter. I've worked with him in the legislature for a decade, and just appreciate you for the good work you do.
Well, you know, Wayne, you and I have talked several times. We've been at many functions, and you know how I feel about you. I love you like a brother. And there's nothing that I wouldn't do for you. I understand, and Scott understands, Railroad Commission. Most people, when you get down past Attorney General, they don't get the down ticket stuff, and they don't understand how important it is. I happen to know how important it is. I mean, oil and gas is our lifeblood here in Texas, and we need someone that knows how to fight the EPA, knows how to fight a leftist administration. So my question to you today, and then Scott will have one for you, and then basically we just want people to get to know you the way we know you, the Wayne I know, the guy that has been in my mom's house, had coffee with me and Senator Patrick and other people, and just a regular guy. But explain the importance of the Railroad Commissioner position, please.
Well, number one, the Railroad Commission has nothing to do with the railroads. I think that's the most shocking thing you'll tell people. It protects, it regulates the oil, gas, and coal, which makes Texas different from California. $24 billion income the last 2 years, the fastest growing part of our economy, the fastest growing part of the national economy, and what, and more importantly, President Barack Obama wants to stop in Texas so that we become California. He wants to stop fracking. He wants to stop the delivery of oil and gas from Canada down to Texas in the Keystone Pipeline. He wants to get the endangered species to where he shuts off thousands of acres. He wants to stop Texas being the independent last remaining voice in our country.
Well, he does, Wayne. Folks, I don't have the figures on me, right? I did a blog for you several months ago, actually, and I sat down and researched it, and I've done so many blogs, I don't have all the numbers right off the top of my head. But California is a prime example. I should probably pull it up and pull those numbers. But California is a prime example, a state approximately the same size as ours, as far as population, geographically about the same size as ours, same resources, same coastline, same natural resources, yet their regulation against oil and gas has caused them to go bankrupt, whereas, thankfully, in Texas, folks like you and Governor Perry and other folks, folks, I might add real quick, Wayne is a good example why we need to get rid of Joe Strauss. Wayne was the first conservative representative to stand up and endorse Senator Cruz, whom we all love. But he was gerrymandered out of his seat because of Joe Strauss. But I digress, Wayne. If you take California and Texas and use those as examples, that is a perfect example of what happens when the left takes hold of your natural resources, which we do in a responsible way, and it makes it so that you can't access them.
That's a great example. You remember back when California, the way they handled their energy crisis, the price of their electricity was going up. So the legislature did what the liberals always do, and big brother government step in, and they passed a law that capped how high your electric bill would go. Now, that's government intervention in the private free market. A few years later, they had blackouts in California because the private market didn't rebuild generators. Texas, for the past decade, has instead, because I've been honored to be on the regulatory commission that had direct oversight of the Railroad Commission, we were able to make sure the free market was open with good regulations to keep the public safe, and we were able to regulate to the point that we became and are now the number one producer in the United States of oil and gas, and the United States is now number one in the world, no longer. And the Arabs over there that hate our guts, we in Texas are now becoming the number one producer of oil and gas, unlike California, which is now dependent upon the federal government for its every dollar.
Well, in New York, I'm just real quickly, then I'm going to let Scott ask his question, but real quickly, New York's another example. They're sitting on what we hear might actually be bigger than the Barnett Shale as far as natural gas, but New York doesn't want access to gas. And look, fracking, I don't care what people in Azle or any place else say, the earthquakes that have been happening around up here in North Texas come from far deeper than how far we frack. We've got clean, safe ways of fracking now that are environmentally safe. Because Wayne, we care about the environment just as much as the liberals.
Well, listen, We in the state of Texas are a much cleaner state. We're a cleaner nation than we were 30 years ago, much cleaner. There's not one EPA directive, not one ceiling that they have that Texas exceeds. And people don't talk about that. The Sierra Club and the other environmental extremists only want to blame that Texas is so dirty and polluting, and we are much cleaner. Let me tell you also that we in Texas are producing more than any state in the nation because we've had the strength to thumb our noses at the federal government, because we have stood the test under Governor Rick Perry through the conservative leadership. I was honored to be president of the conservative coalition. I was honored to be on the Tea Party caucus, and we just flat have said no to the liberals. Now, number one, we also protect the public. The job I will have as railroad commissioner is, number one, to represent those who elect me, which are the public in Texas. But the best way to protect the public is to make sure if there's anything wrong, we scientifically investigate it. When there is proven a problem, we demand the free market, the companies, to fix it. We don't increase government with a new bureau or new program for the government to have. That's bigger government, which is liberal government, which is making a bigger government, not less. We conservatives demand the free market companies on their own dime fix the problem, and that becomes more efficient. There's no program the government ever had that the free market didn't do a better, cheaper, more exhaustive and successful job than the government did.
Well, Wayne, thank you. I'm gonna hand it over to my partner today, Scott Osborne. He may have a question for education. How he ties education into energy and oil, I don't know, but I know you can handle it. I'm going to answer this other phone call real quick and see who I have. So, Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Wayne. It's good to talk to you. I know Michael's a huge supporter. I just moved here from California. So I've lived what you're saying, and I've seen the damages that the environmentalists have done to California. I've seen the southern end of the breadbasket of the world, the San Joaquin Valley, dried up because of a guppy, a bait fish, up in the Sacramento Delta, where they've turned off all the water. And I don't necessarily just have a question. I want to big amen to what you said. I want to give a small illustration and then let you comment on it. Because I'll tell you, here's what I've seen since I moved to Texas. And Michael will tell you, 3 months in, I'm a very proud Texan. I don't even remember where that state is you guys are talking about over there on the West Coast. I've been ashamed of it for a long time. But, you know, it's the little things that make a big difference. And when we moved here, I was driving a great big U-Haul truck. We came down into Mesquite. I was pulling a little pickup behind it. And we pulled into our neighborhood. And we pulled into this little street, and there were cars parked on both sides, and I had to really navigate to get down the road. And since I've lived here, you know, every neighborhood I go into, there's cars parked on both sides of the road, and you have to navigate. It's not easy to go down the streets here sometimes. And I love every minute of it, because I'm going to tell you, Wayne, every time I do that, it reminds me why I left California. Because what California would do is regulate that, and they would tell you that you cannot park in front of your own house because we've got this problem. But Texas, they use common sense. And here's what they do. They slow down. They slow down. And you know, we are constantly fighting the EPA because of common sense stuff, just flat-out common sense stuff. So I want to give you that, tell you, I've been looking at you close because Michael said to look at you close. I've been supporting Connie Burton real hard. I've been supporting Sid Miller hard. And you've been added to my list this last week. I just haven't I've been too busy to really do it because I do believe your position is really important. I do want to ask you this. When you become railroad commissioner, what can the grassroots activist help you to do to help you fight the federal government?
Help me make sure and demand of their legislators and of their other commissioners and my other fellow representatives and fellow statewide commissioners, demand that we keep Texas, Texas. Do not stop paying attention and do not trust us for anything. Make sure that the public is watching, the Tea Parties are active, the partisans are being active and watching and making sure they hold us accountable. Believe me, I'm excited to work with people like Ken Paxton and Glenn Hagar and Sid Miller. It's going to be wonderful to see a statewide of elected officials that can communicate together, that can work together for common good of the state. And the citizens just simply need to make sure they're voting, make sure they get their friends to vote out. As Michael was saying, make sure we all take part in this government. We have got to quit sitting back and trusting people like even me, the politician, to do the job. You've held me accountable. I've been in the legislature 14 years, was honored to be named the most conservative legislator by the Eagle Forum, the Conservative Digest, and others. I have those honors, but I'm still hired out to serve the public when you elect me.
Well, amen, and we're going to give you everything we got, Wayne. You're doing a great job. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I was just going to say that's Wayne Christian. You can find him at christianfortexas.com. You can find him on Twitter at christianfortx. I've been tweeting for Wayne for quite some time now. So, Wayne, just real quickly, closing 30 seconds, we've got Sid on the line. We've got to take a hard break. Thank you, brother, for joining us today. This is exactly what I wanted to do, is just kind of like we did at Mom's house up on Eagle Mountain Lake. Just let people get to know you.
I appreciate you, brother. God bless you for the work you're doing. God bless Texas and all the people out there.
Thank you very much, Wayne. I'll talk to you later, brother. And thanks, look, Kyle and Travis, those guys are great.
Thank you, man. You have a good one.
All right, brother. All right, folks, this is the Michael Behrman Show. It's the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. We've got phone calls rolling in. I'm going to try my hardest to get some of these folks in, but we've got Sid Miller online waiting right after this hard break.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. Lies, deceit, and cover-ups. That's the Obama administration's response to the terrorist attack that killed four Americans. And now parents of the victims are demanding the truth from Obama.
Well, I know there was a cover-up. I had to get my information from outside sources because the government would not tell me. And Hillary said that what difference does it make? It makes one big difference to me. My son was killed.
Four men with careers protecting American security were murdered, and Barack Obama doesn't even act concerned.
His eyes were looking over my shoulder like he could not look me in the eye. And it was not a sincere, I'm really sorry, you know, that your son died.
Enough of the lies. Enough of the cover-ups. It's time to hold Barack Obama accountable. Paid for and authorized by the Conservative Campaign Committee.
All right, here I am, proud to be a Texan, with my blood brother, Sid Miller. And if you want to keep Texas as the last best place, if you want to keep Texas, Texas, visit SidMillerForTexas.com. In fact, make that MillerForTexas.com. Go to MillerForTexas.com and make a donation so that my blood brother, Sid Miller, becomes the Ag Commissioner of Texas. Because Texas is the best. Let's keep it the best.
You're listening to The Michael Behrman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Yeah, and it is Miller time. It's 2 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. This is Michael Behrman, along with my brother from another mother, Scott Osborne, and we are joined by the next agriculture commissioner for the Great Lone Star State, my brother out of Stephenville, who just won some money down at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, Mr. Sid Miller. Sid, how are you doing today, brother?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. That
buddy
wasn't mistaken. That sounded like Uncle Ted on the radio.
It was Uncle Ted. Man, I'd give anything to be able to speak to Uncle Ted. But look, that's not why we got you on today. We got you on because I want folks to get to know the Sid Miller I know. The kind of Sid Miller when you're just standing around speaking with Paul and Sid, you just kind of, you know, just good old boy talk like we do down here in Texas. That's the Sid Miller I want people to get to know. Now, you know, Sid, I know you're running for agriculture commissioner. I just talked to Wayne. The two, you know, most people don't understand the down ticket races, but to me, the two most important, look, as important as the governor is, lieutenant governor, attorney general, the two number one things in Texas are oil and gas and agriculture. And we got to have conservative people in those offices that are going to protect our interest and protect the lifeblood of what makes Texas, Texas. And one of those is agriculture. So, you know, I know there's not a question you can't tie into agriculture. So I'm going to ask you, how border security ties into agriculture. And then Scott's got a question for you. And then I want you just to get to know the folks that are listening today the way I know Sid Miller.
Well, first of all, thank you all for having me on. And a little bit about my background. I'm an eighth generation, a farmer and rancher. I live in Steamville, Texas, where I still make my living off land, raising cattle and horses and crops and nursery stock. And proud to be a Texan. I'm kind of a throwback Texan, kind of old John Wayne type Texan. You know, I still wear the 10-gallon hat and had it long before I was running for ag commissioner. But I've served in the legislature and served as Tom Craddock appointed me chairman of the Agriculture and Livestock Committee, which I was happy to serve, and also on the advisory board of for the state's agriculture advisory board, and I know that's important. And if I'm fortunate enough to be elected ag commissioner, I used to tell people I'll hit the ground running, but I'm going to change that and say I'm going to hit the ground list makes good leaders. And as far as border security, that's something that was the number one issue for the last ag commissioner, Todd Staples. Now, he did a good job of working on that. I worked with him very closely because I was chairman of Homeland Security and Public Safety, where we had oversight over the Texas Rangers, DPS, and securing the Texas border. And here's how it probably ties closer to agriculture than it does just about anything else. We have our largest vegetable-growing segment of agriculture in Texas down in the valley, Rio Grande Valley. We have a lot of cattle production, the sheep and goat production up down the Rio Grande River. And it's a war zone down there. We've got farmers and ranchers that can't even step foot on their place. It's so bad. They certainly can't sell them and market them or even carry on an agriculture operation down there. So it's very vital that we get our hands, around that and have a workable solution to that problem. So glad to be on the show with you. Thank you for asking about the illegal immigration.
Thank you very much, Sid. Look, I'm going to let Scott ask you a question because I know Scott and I have talked extensively, and I've never asked you about what he's going to ask you, but he said, Michael, I couldn't believe it when Sid answered this. Only Sid could do it. So, Scott, I'm going to turn it over to you, and then Sid, we're sitting on a back porch. You've got 100 conservatives sitting around you. We're having some coffee or water or a soda. And I want you just to get to know the audience and let them know you like I know you. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, and I just have to amen that. And Sid, you know how I feel about you. Michael pointed you out to me before I ever left California. I got a lot of candidates that I support. And then I got a small handful that have just got something special, and you've got that. I believe you're a statesman. I pay attention to reputation. And in Texas, you've got a huge, incredible reputation. But in my book, you've got something really, really special that I like, and that you understand things. You understand what abortion has to do with being an agricultural commissioner. You also understand what my topic is for today, what Common Core has to do with being an agricultural commissioner. And I love your answer. I absolutely love your answer. So I want to ask you, and then let you answer it, what does Common Core have to do? Why is our education of our kids important to Sid Miller running for agricultural commissioner?
Well, look, that's something that's very, very close to me. You know, what y'all don't know about me is much about my wife. My wife is a founder of two very successful charter schools. They're at-risk charter schools. They're basically dropout recovery schools. So they're just high schools, and she reaches out to the kids that are looking for a third chance in life, and she truly is making sure that no child is left behind. So, number one, I sleep with the school superintendent every night, so I'm pretty close to that. Number two, of course, I have an agriculture education, the only one in the race for agriculture that does, but I was also an ag teacher, FFA advisor, and 4-H leader. So I know y'all just had Wayne Christian on, and he'll tell you that our greatest natural resource in Texas is oil and gas. But I'm going to disagree with him and tell you that it's our youth.
Amen.
Make sure that our youth have every avenue, everything possible available to them to be successful in life, and especially those involved in agriculture, because it's a dwindling population. Less than 2% of our population here in Texas is actually lives and works on a farm or ranch. So we need to make that pathway as smooth and as seamless as possible
for those kids who want to live and work and continue to have the family values and a real heritage and Western way of lifestyle that we've been so famous for here in Texas, and make that possible for our youth. And as Ag Commissioner, I can assure you that I will reach out to the youth and make that dream as possible for as many as I possibly can.
Well, amen, Sid. And like we say, we're rooting for you. We're fighting for you. We're going to give you every bit of help that we can because I believe you're a statesman. I know a lot of conservative people running around running for elections, but that's not enough for me. I got to know that when the person gets into office that they're going to stay conservative, they're going to stand and fight, even when it's not popular. That's the difference. You described that on our show if you're a few weeks back, the difference between a politician and a statesman. And I believe you're a statesman. We're going to fight for you every chance we get. You're doing a great job. And let me tell you, I want to give a shout-out to your campaign manager. Somebody else I see a lot of people talking about. 19 years old and running a state campaign is incredible. He's doing a great job. We're going to have him on one of my shows here soon, Colton Buckley. You got a great team around you, and can't wait to see your name on those little stickers that they place on our gas pumps for Agricultural Commissioner, Texas politics. Back to you, Michael.
That just goes to show you that I'm going to have youth involved in my administration. I forgot to answer the other half of Scott's question for us. Why is abortion in the Second Amendment important in the ag race? Well, obviously, life is the most important thing, and we should, if we're ever going to err, we should err on the side of life. And for me, it may not tie exactly to agriculture, but it tells you what's in a man's heart. Tell you what his character is. Because if you won't stand up, let me just tell you this, and I've told other groups this. If you look at a politician and he won't stand up for the babies and the unborn, he's probably not going to be too concerned about you either. And for the Second Amendment and why it should be a part of the Ag Commissioner's race, it's probably a bigger part of the Ag Commissioner's race than anyone running for statewide office. So let me tell you, in rural Texas, if it has fins, feather, or fur on it, it helps us make a living. And if we lose our Second Amendment rights, we lose part of our livelihood. A lot of times, especially in the years like we have drought, the only net income you may have off your farm and ranch is what you get from leasing out to hunters or fishermen or bird watchers or, you know, other groups like that. So, yeah, it's a big part of our income. So not only is it a constitutional right, but it's part of our livelihood.
Well, Sid, I don't think anybody. You're the only. Well, like Scott just said, you're a statesman, and you know how all of these various things that folks would think. How in the world do you tie that into ag? Affects ag, and I want to thank you for joining us today in our final. And by the way, folks, it's millerfortexas.com. I urge you to go there. Look, I know Sid Miller. I've found myself at rallies where I needed something and I needed it quick. And look, this is a cut to the chase kind of guy. The response was, Michael, the Calvary's coming. The Calvary's coming to Austin in the ag department, and that is Sid Miller. You can find him also at Twitter at Miller4Texas. But, Sid, in our final remaining minutes, we're on the back porch. We've got 100 conservatives sitting around. I just want them to get to know Sid Miller like I know Sid Miller.
Well, thank you. I'd like to ask your listeners three things. If they would, go to our Facebook page and like it and ask your friends to like it. That's how we're running on a grassroots social media campaign. Some people say we have a one-man operation. It's actually a lot larger than that. But we're not. It's not a traditional campaign for us. We're relying on the grassroots, just like you guys, help them get our word out. If your listeners would go to our website, click on it, volunteer, sign up, contribute. Just $5, $10, $20, $50, $100 if they can. That'll help us get our $20. We can call 500 people with a $20 donation. And I just want to remind them of who I'm running against. The guy I'm running against is the only Republican to fight us on voter ID, voted against us when we had the bill on the House floor to repeal in-state tuition for illegals. He brought up a point of order and killed the bill. He filed a run against Speaker, was unsuccessful.
but along with the 10 colleagues and the Democrats, elected Joe Strauss and his own Republican to join the Democrat study group in the House, led by Garnett Coleman. So just remind you who I'm running against, the most liberal Republican ever walked into a Republican caucus meeting. But I appreciate you guys, and thanks for having me on today.
Thank you very much, Sid. And that is, we're running against Tommy Merritt, and we don't need – Walt's a good guy. Walt and I were talking. We don't need Tommy Merritt. He's a disgrace. Pardon me, Sid. This is me talking, not you. I think Tommy Merritt is a disgrace to the Ag Commission. All right. Well, thank
y'all for having me on.
Thank you very much, Sid.
God bless you guys for what you do. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Sid.
Thank you, Sid.
All right, it is 15 minutes after the top of the hour. This is the Michael Behrman Show with Scott Osborne. We're going to go into this soft break, and we're going to come out of it with a longtime friend of mine, a mentor, a leader, Connie Ferguson, who's going up for SD10. We'll be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Friends, Texas is a special place where the family farm and ranch are still the backbone of our culture. Texas was built from the ground up with grit, honesty, and integrity. Our next agriculture commissioner should possess those same traditional Texas values. Sid Miller has proven he's that kind of man. A man with a lifelong history in Texas agriculture with strong convictions that can lead and make difficult decisions. Sid is known and respected across Texas as a true conservative and champion of our Second Amendment rights. As the chairman of the State House Agriculture and Livestock Committee, Sid fought hard for Texas farmers and ranchers. He's a lifelong cattleman and understands the issues facing Texas agriculture. Sid is a dedicated Christian family man who is committed to protecting everyday Texans like you and me. Let's elect a man with true Texas values to be our next agriculture commissioner. Vote for Sid Miller for the future of Texas agriculture.
Paid for by the Sid Miller Campaign. Ted Nugent, Treasurer.
There is only one true conservative running for Texas Senate. Connie Burton, wife, mother, grassroots conservative leader. Connie Burton will stand up for us. Senator Ted Cruz said Connie Burton wakes up every day fighting for liberty and fighting for every Texan. That's why Connie Burton is endorsed by Texans for Fiscal Responsibility and Texas Right to Life. Republican Connie Burton, the only true conservative.
And you're listening to The Michael Behrman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
The Michael Behrman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. The phone number 718-305-7176. Give us a call. I'll try to get you on when I can. We've got a very full schedule today. It is my greatest honor. I've got a lot of them today, guys. Look, I'm just going to tell you straight up. I've got a lot of greatest honors. By the way, that song, Pretty Girls, Guns, and Guitars, is that was sung by Lisa Mae Norton of out of the Big Dog Music Mafia. They sponsor conservative and Christian artists, and that song was written by my friend Jenny Gill Hicks. And I picked that song especially today for bringing in our next guest because, well, first of all, she is a pretty gal. She does like to shoot guns. I don't know if she plays a guitar, but it just seemed to fit her. That is the person who I've known for 3 years now, who was my field director when we were Cruise Crew and we were -1.5% in the polls and fighting for Ted Cruz. The person that gave me my directions as a volunteer in Tarrant County was my friend, someone I love very much, and though I can't vote for her, someone that I support with all of my heart, that's been in my home when I had Senator Dan Patrick there and Wayne Christian and others. And that is going to be our next senator for Senate District 10, Winnie Davis's old seat. And, Connie, I wished we were going up against Wendy because I know we would whoop her. But, friends, it's my honor to welcome my friend, Connie Burton.
Hey, Michael, how are you today?
I'm doing terrific. Yes, I'm doing terrific, Connie.
Terrific.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Look, as I've been telling all the candidates, Connie, today this is not about hardball or softball. Scott and I have vetted all of our candidates. We don't have to hardball or softball. Today, we've each got a question for you, but today is like that evening on my mom's back porch over there on Eagle Mountain Lake. When we were just sitting around and Senator Patrick was my guest, but you were there, Wayne was there, I did a blog and I talked about you and the other two, and I just called it the backyard chat. It was old-fashioned Texas politics, and that's the way we do it. And I just want our listeners to get to know the Connie Burton I've worked for, who's mentored me, who has said Michael has put the leash on Michael. Or taking the leash off of Michael. I want folks to know that convert.
Yeah, that's the way I like it the most, right? It's the best way is just to talk to people one-on-one and, you know, let them know where you sit and what you believe and that kind of thing and earn the trust of the voters. And once you do that, then, you know, you can – they will give you their trust and put you into office. And that's what I love most. You know – you say I was your mentor. I appreciate that so very much. But, you know, we're all just helping each other, trying to do the right thing, trying to get this country back on track, right? You know, we're all just people that are worried about our country and how what's going on at the national level is affecting the state of Texas. And so we're worried, all of us. We're worried, and we're trying to reclaim the country that we love so much and get back to, you know, our liberties, our individual liberties and our individual freedoms, and we're all doing just our own little part in trying to get that done.
Sorry, I just got a text from Senator Patrick. Connie, my one question to you, and I already know the answer. We've talked about this long and hard. I see you all the time. We're both from Tarrant County. But let's tell our listeners, Senator Connie Burton, Senate District 10. You know, my big thing is, you know, Connie, is immigration. I believe the demographics in Texas are changing, and we can't tolerate any more undocumented Democrats. Scott will have a different question for you. And then we want to have that backyard chat and let Connie get to talk to the listeners one-on-one. So three bullet points, Connie, on immigration, i.e. border control. How does Senator Connie Burton help us control the influx of illegal immigration? And first of all, let me stipulate, we love our brothers and sisters in the Tejano community and or Mexican Americans or Guatemalan American, anybody from anywhere in the world that's come here legally. I'm going to let you fly with that.
Right. Well, you know, and obviously a large part of our campaign is knocking on doors, right? We knock on the doors of people in the district and talk to them about what their concerns are, or ask them what their concerns are, and they tell us. And illegal immigration is a big issue for many people in the district. You know, obviously Texas is a border state, and we've known for quite some time that the federal government does not do its job. What it's supposed to be doing is protecting our borders, right? And it's the one thing that they clearly have failed to do for far too long. So people are very concerned about that. And really the concern of citizens in the district, it doesn't stem so much from, citizens coming from Mexico. I think what people fail to realize is that people are concerned because we live in a different world since 9/11. And really the concerns of having a very secure border is based on preventing people that would do us harm coming over into our country. And with 1,200 miles of border unprotected, that's too easy. And that's where the concern lies with people. People that they don't want others who would do us harm coming into our country. And those that would do us harm are know all too well that it's very easy to get across that border down there. So, you know, a part of is you know, I am very, very much a fiscal conservative. That's what's gotten me into politics. I'm very, very, very concerned about the runaway debt that at the national level and the continual spending and the increase of government constantly, the increase in size of government. And so I always want to – my main goal when I go down to Austin is to, the budget, right, and not increasing it but prioritizing it. So it's a little bit odd for me to say at this point, you know, that something that I actually we might have to look at increasing the budget for is border security, giving our law enforcement – the tools that they need to take care of Texans and the citizens of Texas, and that means, you know, down at the border. And so, you know, while I don't want to just go down to increase the budget, what I'm talking about is shifting and focusing first and foremost on the safety and the basic needs of Texans, and certainly border security is one of them.
All right. Well, thank you, Connie. And listen, folks, you can find Connie at ConnieBurton.com. Her Twitter is at Connie Burton. I tweet. I'm at CNM host underscore Michael. I tweet for Connie constantly, as well as all of the candidates we've had on thus far. Connie, thank you for joining us today. Scott's got the next question for you. And then we're sitting on my back porch. It's just Connie and 100 conservatives. And then we want Connie and those 100 conservatives to enter, you know, just to get to be comfortable with one another. So, Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Connie, it's so good to have you on.
Thank
you know I'm a fan. Let me tell you, last Thanksgiving, I was taking a week off from being a full-time uncle/parent. Sitting at my aunt's house, laying on the couch. She was on the other couch watching TV, and I was playing with Facebook. And Michael tagged me in a post with Connie Burton and said, Scott, you're getting ready to move to Texas. You need to pay attention to this woman. And you were the first person that he pointed out to me, first candidate for me to look at. He handed a few more to me that week, but you were the first one. And I take a look, and I'm going to tell you what caught my attention, and that's that you're grassroots. You know how to fight, and I believe you're going to take that same fight to the Texas State House in Washington, in Texas, in Austin. And so we're 100% behind you. You know, the reason we moved down here, Connie, one main reason, Common Core. I've got three nieces. I'm homeschooling two. I've got one in the Mesquite School District at P.J. Thomas. And let me tell you, we jumped from the frying pan and into the fire. Last summer we were told Texas knocked over C-Scope. It's gone. I get down here and I'm fighting Common Core in this public school more than I was in California. We've just moved around the deck chairs. They've done the same thing in Indiana. They've just moved around the deck chairs. I want to know what we do when we get Senator Connie Burton, and I know it's going to be that, next year, and you're up there in Austin. How does Connie fully fight this so that we can rip this thing out by the roots, guarantee parental sovereignty? You know, my sister, she can't even hardly take her own child out of school for one day, who's a straight-A student, to go with her other two sisters to the zoo because the school makes her feel like they're going to call CPS on her. It's insane what's going on down here in our educational system in Texas. And I'll tell you, it's worse than it is in California, believe it or not, which has really got me aggravated. So what does Connie do when she gets to Austin to really grab a hold of this thing, really rip it out by the roots, really throw the control back to the parents so that parents can be parents and the schools can go back to reading, writing, and arithmetic and teaching kids how to read, which 17% of our illiterate in this country has gone through our public schools?
Right. Yeah, I feel your pain, Scott. I know it's so it's a concern of so many. You know, obviously a huge problem for the C-scope that was in Texas is that there wasn't the transparency that was needed so that people even knew what the heck their, kids were being taught. So obviously transparency in the education process is a huge issue for me to increase transparency for parents and, children, I guess, students alike. School choice is a passion of mine as well. The more choices that parents and guardians have of their children's education, it's always going to be better for them and the child because you won't be strapped into schools like you were just describing necessarily. You know, if you have more choice and you're finding that your school isn't allowing the teacher to have as much control, allowing the parent to have as much control as you'd like, well, perhaps there's another school that will, and that's when you or the parent or the guardian can send their child to that school. So a huge part of that, of the solution to me, is choice in our education system here in Texas. So that's what I'm going to be a huge proponent of when I'm down there. There's, of course, we could go on and on. There's a lot of other issues with education as well, but I just know that transparency and school choice will lead us down the path of rectifying the problems that we have right now.
Well, Connie,
amen, appreciate that. Go ahead,
Connie,
Michael.
I want to thank you for joining us today. We're up against the hard break. You've got a large army here in Tarrant County and in Texas, and thank you so much for joining us today. Just real quickly in 30 seconds, it's ConnieBurton.com, at Connie Burton on Twitter. Just give us 30 seconds what you need from whom.
I just need y'all to keep doing what you're doing. Just keep talking about our campaign. We are excited. We've got enthusiasm. We've got the grassroots, but it's never finished until those votes are counted. So we need everybody to come out and vote probably the week before in early voting. As you've mentioned today, it's March 27th is Election Day, but that is the day after Memorial Day. So we need everybody to get to the polls on the week before. That's when early voting takes place. And let's do this and let's do it big so that we can have a great victory and strength and momentum going into the November election.
Thank you very much, sister. This is the Michael Berryman Show on conservativenationmedia.com. It is 31 minutes after the top of the hour. Up next, my Andrew Breitbart.
For liberty and fighting for every Texan. God bless you.
So they want to ban high-capacity magazines. Not for the security that surrounds the President, Congress, Mayor Bloomberg, rock stars, CEOs, and wealthy big shots. And the madmen, drug cartels, and home-invading killers will still get them from the same black market that sells drugs, stolen cars, and everything else that criminals buy. It's just the rest of us, the law-abiding average people, who will have to defend our families with limited-capacity magazines. Welcome to Barack Obama's middle class.
And you're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
All right, and this is The Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. It's 32 minutes after the top of the hour. Phone number 718-305-7176. You can find me at Facebook.com/ The Flying Shamrock. That's flying without a G, Shamrock. Our next guest who's on the line with us is my Andrew Breitbart. He doesn't realize that, but Michael Quinn Sullivan, founder, president of Empower Texans for Responsibility. He is the guy that when I said my candidate on behalf of conservative media, and or look at representatives or senators already in office to see how they're doing fiscally, the very first place I go to is Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, not only because I know Michael Quinn Sullivan, but because I know that the manner in which he scores these folks that we have to keep tabs on is done so in a fair and impartial way. And if most all of the candidates we've had on today and those that are still yet to come have been endorsed by Texans and for fiscal responsibility and Empower Texans and or Michael Quinn Sullivan personally. Michael, thank you so much for joining me today. Sorry about the confusion earlier in the week, but you're my Andrew Breitbart, Michael.
Well, you are very kind, and having known Andrew, I'm humbled beyond words, and really appreciate the kind introduction.
Well, Michael, I asked you on today because, as you know, my show today is a Texas runoff candidates fair. I've had on Dan got tied up. I'm not at liberty to discuss that, but he got tied up, and he might try to join us later in the show. But I've had on Ken Paxton, Wayne Christian, Sid Miller, Connie Burton. Now you. We've still got Eric Maroon. We've still got Steve Toth. We've still got Bob Hall. We still got John Ratcliffe, who's going up against Ralph Hall, who's a fine man, but he's going on his 19th term. I have followed your lead for several years now, and I've done so for a reason, and it's because you're fair and impartial. The reason I asked you on, Michael, and I think Scott will have a question for you as well, but basically what I would like for you to explain to our listeners here on conservativenationmedia.com is the means by which or how did Empower Texans Fiscal or Texans for Fiscal Responsibility vet and endorse the various candidates that they have, some of whom I've had on the show today, because, you know, if you're not the avid tinfoil hat wearing grassroots conservative like me, and you're just a regular, voter, you know, mediocre information voter, you've got to turn to various organizations or to grassroots conservatives that do the work and then disseminate the information, which I do for you. How does Michael Quinn Sullivan do that?
Well, you know, we always start with asking some very basic questions of the candidates. We have a questionnaire that we put up on our website. We actually put the questionnaire up on our website long before we start sending it out to candidates. And the reason we do that is we want, you know, folks who visit our website, who subscribe to our email list and follow us on social media, we want those folks to first vet that questionnaire. And we want a very public airing of here are the issues that we're asking candidates about. Then we actually put those questions to candidates. We interview them. We interview all who want to be interviewed. We don't very aggressively seek out candidates. We instead just kind of let nature take its course in a lot of ways with those folks, and do interviews with them, try to dig into their answers to understand where they're coming from. But maybe the most important thing that we do is we then go out, whether it's statewide or it's in particular districts, and we ask questions. You know, we send emails out to our list. We post questions on Facebook and Twitter and other places saying, what do you know about these men and women who are running for office? You know, in Senate District 10, I had the advantage, you just had Connie Burton on, had the advantage of knowing Connie Burton at least a little bit over the couple of years. So I felt like I kind of knew her personally, but this isn't personal. You know, we're not hiring a friend. We're actually looking for people to take the reins of our government. And so to do that well and effectively, we do what I think all of us do as individuals. We start reaching out, asking folks throughout Senate District 10 and throughout Tarrant County, hey, what do you know about Connie Burton? What are questions we should ask Mark Shelton and, you know, the other folks in the race? And it was amazing to us. I could have told you in November that Connie Burton was going to be where she is today because the results that we got, the feedback we got was overwhelming about Connie Burton. You know, we couldn't find a single person who had a negative thing to say about her. It was amazing. So that's the process that we try to follow, and including a lot of folks in it, so that I would love to think that me and my team are, you know, a bunch of you know, wise, smart people. But at the end of the day, the marketplace of ideas does a much better job of providing information than any one person can.
Well, Michael, don't sell yourself short, because what you do is very important to a lot of grassroots conservatives in Texas. And speaking of which, you know, after the primary runoff, you know, look, you've endorsed just right off the top of my head. I'm just going to go with my very first two guests. Of course, Senator Patrick couldn't make it, but y'all endorsed Senator Patrick, and you've endorsed Senator Paxton. We did a lot better in all of the statewide races and in the various local races where we needed to do well. Yet the because of our good friend Katrina Pearson and in the U.S. Senate race against John Cornyn, you know, the mainstream media paint the party, grassroots conservative, whatever you want to call it, in Texas dead. But we're not. We won a lot of races. I mean, we're actually thriving, and in part because of you and some of our other friends like Kathy Adams at Texas Eagle Forum and Young Conservatives of Texas. I mean, those are the three most important scorecards to me when I'm looking at candidates. And I mean, what do you attribute to what's actually happening in Texas with grassroots conservative, Michael? Because we are in fact making the difference, or at least I want to think that.
Well, look, I mean, you're absolutely right. The mainstream media, looking from afar, I mean, I remember it was, you know, April 16th of, I guess it would have been 2009, when you saw the media reports declaring that the Tea Party was dead. Ronald Reagan going into the 1980 election had no chance of winning. I mean, you constantly see the mainstream media constantly writing the obituary of the conservative movement. Somehow or other, we managed to survive. And in this election cycle, we saw that in glowing technicolor. Yeah, you know, the mainstream media wants to highlight two races, Senator Cornyn's race and Pete Sessions' race. Oh, see, that's evidence of that they're not doing anything. Yeah, but you know, look at all these other races. You know, there's more than just two races. You know, if John Cornyn had lost, they'd say, oh, well, but look at these two races. See, it's dead. You know, it's not a question of any particular race. We have to be focused on the long view of history. We have to be focused on moving the policy ball forward. And I'll tell you, I think that John Cornyn probably got the message. Or at least we'll see if he got the message. Maybe it's a better way to say it. There's a long, you know, we as activists have to be in this for the long fight, not for the headlines in the media. And you and I can look at these win after win after win after win. You know, there were seven incumbent House members, all, you know, rhino leadership, you know, weasel, you know, liberal-leaning moderates who were defeated. But nobody wants to talk about that, you know. So that's the – you and I have to take comfort knowing that we're actually winning even if, you know, Pravda isn't reporting it. You know, remember, the day before the Soviet Empire collapsed, Pravda was writing about the strength of the Soviet Empire. You can expect the same thing to go on the mainstream media.
Well, that's the definition of insane. It extends all the way down into judicial elections. I mean, we did very well. But, Michael, I've got my good friend, my brother from another mother, Scott Osborne, on. He's helping me with the show today. So I want to let Scott ask a question of you. And then you're in a room with 100 conservatives. I want Michael Quinn Sullivan to get to know my audience and, you know, explain to them why it's important to get back out on the 27th and support some of the candidates that we've had on the show today. So, Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Michael, it's an honor to have you on. I have to ditto what Michael said. I've been watching Texas politics for a long time through the eyes of Michael, and then, of course, we moved down here 3 months ago. And I'm a believer in productivity. And I see three very productive groups going on. The Young Conservatives, of course, Eagle Forum, love Phyllis Schlafly and everything she's done over the decades. And Eagle Forum seems to be strong here. And so is Empower Texans. You guys are accomplishing things. There are a lot of groups out there that are bringing in some money and doing a little bit here and there, but you're actually accomplishing things. And I do want to say this. I have learned in 3 months that the Texas Ethics Commission, we need an ethics commission to watch what the Texas Ethics Commission is doing, which is insane. But I told Michael before we started the show, I kind of feel like him and I are sitting at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and we're watching these candidates go by. And then Michael Sullivan, the Mr. Macy himself, comes down and sits with us for a couple of minutes in between these candidates. I just want to kind of get you to give your opinion on how this thing's going, how are we heading towards especially the runoff and towards the next election, and what do the grassroots do? What do we do to really get out there and help empower Texans and help these candidates get out there and win and keep Texas, Texas?
You know, a couple of weeks ago, Ted Cruz was speaking, and he said that, you know, he has the firm conviction that Americans are waking up. And I think that's true. And I think that, you know, we in Texas, our alarm clock went off a couple minutes earlier than the rest of the country. But I think that the challenge for us is to stay awake. You know, the challenge for us is to take a look at our neighbors and our families and our friends, you know, who have been, you know, still slapping the snooze button, if you will, and rouse them. We allowed ourselves in the 20th century to accept the idea that it was okay to do something other than be a vigilant, engaged citizen. The only way that we as a state and as a nation will see a furtherance of liberty, see our nation improve, is with us being engaged as citizens and not, you know, falling back to sleep and finding things to do. I mean, it stinks. It really stinks being an engaged citizen, because an engaged citizen, we have to be as conversant on what's going on at City Hall as we are about what's going on at the White House, and we have to be paying attention to all of it. But that's the price of self-governance. You know, if we want to live in a land where we can watch American Idol and we can, you know, go about whatever amusements we seek, well, you know, there are other forms of government for that. You know, Cuba has that. England has that. And, you know, lots of other, you know, places on the planet have that. The United States is different. We're supposed to be in charge. We as the citizens are supposed to be the ones who are leading our country. We don't elect leaders. We elect public servants. We elect servants. And you and I are supposed to be the leader. So I suggest that, you know, you and I have an obligation to make sure that we preach that to ourselves first every day, and then that we share that message, and that we continue the process of waking people up to that message over the next months and days ahead. I'm absolutely convinced our best days are ahead of us. I'm absolutely convinced the best days of Texas and the best days of the United States lie ahead of us. And that happens when we as citizens reclaim control.
Well, Michael, go ahead, Scott.
I just say I'm glad you said that, because I preach that every week on Blog Talk Radio. We got to wake people up. Preaching to the choir is really a lot of fun. It's great to be a cheerleader, but we still got to wake people up. We lay down on the couch during the Reagan years. Things were really good, and then all of a sudden we opened up our eyes, and we were sitting watching our nation fundamentally be changed. And
right.
I thank you for your work, Michael. I've been watching. You're doing great work. You got my support 100%. I'm keeping track of these other things on the side, and thank you for coming. Michael, pass it back to you.
Michael Sullivan, thank you so much for joining us today. I don't want to give you a big head, you are my Andrew Breitbart. Thank you so much for joining me today. And Scott, it was great having your input. Just in 30 seconds, real quickly, tell us where our listeners can find you. And we've already explained the importance of what you do.
Well, thank you again. It's a real honor to get to be with you. I really, really appreciate the kind words. And, you know, folks can find us at EmpowerTexans.com. That's EmpowerTexans.com. We're on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter, MQ Sullivan on Twitter. We'd love to have folks visit our website and engage with us. You know, we're the only way that we get better is by engaging with each other. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's for the opportunity we have here to improve Texas and America.
Folks, it's Michael Quinn Sullivan of Empower Texans and Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, my mentor, my Andrew Breitbart. Thank you, Michael. Anything you know I can do for you, you know I will. And just
thank you,
you know how to get a hold of me on Facebook, brother, and thank you for all you do. Folks, it is 49 minutes after the top of the hour. We're a little bit behind. We've got to take this quick break. And then Eric Maroon is up next, State Board of Education, District 11.
Hi, this is Michael Berryman with the Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Do you sometimes feel like school's out for our kids in our public schools? Yeah, me too. That's why I support Eric Maroon for State Board of Education, District 11. My brother is four students. He's four parents. He's four teachers. He's for accountability and for transparency. And he's against that perfidious liberal invasion of our school districts, C-Scope and Common Core. So if you want real conservative leadership in our State Board of Education, District 11, I urge you to vote for Eric Maroon on May 27th.
Yeah, and this is the Michael Berryman Show. It is 50 minutes after the top of the hour. We do have my brother from another mother on with us now. That is candidate for State Board of Education, District 11. We're getting way down the ballot, and this is the most important part of the ballot, folks, because if you know, it's one thing to go out and vote for the Dan Patricks and the Ken Paxtons and the Wayne Christians and the Sid Millers. But it's folks like this gentleman right here, my brother, that make the difference. This puts the grassroots in grassroots, and it's my brother, Eric Maroon. Eric, which, by the way, please support Eric at ericforeducation.com. You can find him on Twitter at Eric Maroon. Eric, how's it going today, brother?
My brother, how's it going?
That's fine. I hope you approve that message that I started.
Oh, I love the Alice. I love the Alice Cooper. I'm an Alice Cooper fan. That's a nice touch.
Well, okay, Eric. You know what? I've been asking everybody else about border security. I'm actually going to hand it over to Scott, who's the education guru, and then we're sitting on the back porch at my mom, Billy Lancaster, my parents, John and Billy. We're sitting on the back porch up at Eagle Mountain Lake. We're having a backyard meet the candidate session. I want folks just to get to know you like I know you. But we're going to start out with Scott. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Eric. It's good to have you on. I moved from California to Texas 3 months ago for one reason, and that's education. We were running from California, from Common Core. We were excited that last year Texas turned over C-Scope, and then we got down here and found out that all really happened was the deck chairs were kind of rearranged. So I want to ask you, as we go into next year, this is huge. This is the left is trying to institutionalize what they've been doing in our schools on a local level for decades now. What do we do as we go into this next year to really overturn, uproot, get rid of C-Scope, get rid of Common Core, make sure that there's a huge barrier around the borders of Texas to make sure that we don't have to deal with it anymore?
You know, we need somebody very strong to stand up in the State Board of Education to stand up against the liberal agenda that Barack Obama and his administration is pushing on Texas. Now, you know, when I started this campaign, I thought the same thing. Governor Perry said no to Common Core, and I was pretty certain that Common Core is not in Texas. Well, lo and behold, as campaigning, I have a lot of parents coming up to me and say, no, Eric, it is in our schools. Common Core is in our schools. C-Scope is still in the school system as well. And you know, it just blows my mind. And, you know, we got to remember who is in charge of education. It is not Washington, D.C. It is not Austin. It is moms and dads and guardians and grandparents. And we got to remember that. And the parents have spoken, and they have told me, Eric, we don't want it in our schools. And we need somebody on the SBOE to stand up and say this is not going to be allowed in our schools. We need somebody to be interactive with the school, the local ISDs, and seeing what we're teaching our children and seeing what they're being taught.
Well, and I'm looking forward to supporting you. Michael's been pointing it out to you, and I believe it's a firm fight. I believe it's the last bastion of fighting, because if we let the liberals get control of our students and our kids, we've lost this game. But it's not
exactly
about what they're teaching in the classroom. They're wanting to rip control of the parent. They're wanting to rip apart our parental sovereignty, and that's why we're conservatives. You know, Michael and I started off this show talking about Frederick Douglass Republicans a little bit. I'm a firm believer in sovereignty. I believe in my personal sovereignty. I believe in parental sovereignty, and those are at the top of the list. And the left wants to hand our sovereignty off all the way up to a global sovereignty, actually. It's not just the federal government anymore. So I believe it's a huge fight. I look forward to helping you every bit of the way with that fight as we go on into this next year. I believe, firmly believe, you're going to win this. So pass it back to Michael.
Thank you so much.
Eric, well, first of all, I want to thank you for joining us today. Look, folks don't know you like I know you, especially folks outside of State Board of Education District 11. You know, everybody needs to support their conservative candidate in the various state boards of education. Scott just touched on Common Core, and you answered it, and you answered it greatly. I already know this about you. So I'm going to dispense with any more questions. I want you to explain to us why State Board of Education District whatever is an important race. Of course, you can find my brother, ericforeducation.com. His Twitter is at Eric Maroom. And Eric, I have a hard time with folks, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. I'm just going to be blunt with y'all. The rubber meets the road at the State Board of Education, at your county commissioner, at your water board, you know, at all of these down ticket races. If we can't get out there and fight for guys like Eric, then what the heck are we fighting for? Eric, we're sitting in my backyard at my mom's house. We're having coffee. I've got 100 Republicans sitting in front of you. Just tell us about Eric's conservative values, why folks need to vote for you, and or they need to get out and vote for their conservative candidate. Board of Education.
You know, I tell people this. I knew exactly when I got into this a year ago what I was facing. The establishment, I didn't have any money. I'm just a parent, you know, a father of two, concerned not just with their future, but with future generations in Texas, Texas education. And somebody needs to do something about it. When you look at the incumbent that I'm facing, the 11-year incumbent, she proudly praises C-Scope and says there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with our textbooks. I'm thinking, oh, my God. What? She represents my kids? Come on, you know. And somebody needs – no one has given her a real challenge, and here I am. But no money, and I got in this race, and I took her, an 11-year incumbent, into a runoff. I mean, it goes to show you that hard work does pay off. And this is it. This is a race that people just overlook, but to me, it's the most important race in the state of Texas on the ballot, because this is the future of our children's education. And we need to do something about it now. I mean, we can't allow Common Core and C-Scope.
Let me just
go ahead.
I was just going to add to what you just said because it's perfect. This is the most important race because it's our children's future. Well, it is. You're right, because these are the children that are going to be voting for those upper ticket races 15 years from now.
And, you know, I have just been blessed with the support that I've gotten. People have came out, helped me block, but we need, you know, it's a huge district. I have 6 state senators just in my district. It's humongous. Three counties. Parker, it's all of Parker, the majority of Tarrant in northwest Dallas County. And my mom and my wife have been very great in helping me with this journey, you know, to make a difference. And they know how important it is. And I give a lot of credit to my mother at the Tarrant County straw poll.
I won with your mom. I love your mom. She's great stuff.
56.5% of the vote. I got more than double of the incumbent. And I owe a lot of that to my supporters. And of course, my mother was there helping me the whole way. And this is the path that God has called me to do. And they called me down this path. And he said, you know, this, you're the one that's going to make a difference. And he chose me. And I'm going to fight every day for the future of education. This last week, Tom Paulkin came out and endorsed our campaign. The former chairman of the State Board of Education, Don McElroy, is also supporting us, as well as Jonathan Stickland, the most conservative House member in the Texas House. And I'm honored to have their support. And it's very humbling. And with the help of the grassroots, Michael, I got to say thank you to you. You have been one of the top players in my campaign, helping me put up signs in the cold. And the hot, I mean, you've been there. And I just want to say thank you, brother. And, you know, walk away from this, and whether win or lose, I know we're going to win. You know, I'm blessed to have met a great friend like yourself.
Well, brother, you are going to win, but thank you very much. And you've got my heart, brother. We're going to get you in there. Look, I've got four kids, three of whom are still in school, and I've got one granddaughter. I care about my country. I care about my state. I care about my county. I care about my wife's a school teacher, been a school teacher for 16 years, and she's worried about the direction we're going in, Eric. So thank you for all you're doing. Look, we've got 30 seconds. Just give us the website, the Twitter, the Facebook, all that good stuff, and then we're going to go into this hard break, and my next call, Bob Hall, is next.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Maroom, eric4education.com is my website. You can find me on Twitter, Eric4Education, or just find me on Facebook. You'll find my campaign page on there. Please like me on there. I need your support. I need your help. It's going to take the grassroots to defeat the establishment, and we can do it together. It's been done before, and like I said, this is for the future of children's education here in Texas. Don't take this lightly. God bless you all, and thank you for everything that y'all do. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, brother. I'll talk to you later. All right. It's the top of the hour straight up. We're going to go into this hard break. We're going to come out of it with Bob Hall.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
I first learned about it from the same news reports that I think most people learned about this. I think it was on Friday.
What day did you learn?
The same day the president did.
From news reports?
Correct.
So no one in this building told you?
That's correct.
Okay.
Who was responsible?
I don't have that name, sir. I don't remember, to be honest with you. I'm not sure what you're asking, sir.
Don't remember again.
I'm not there to go ask a set of questions of people, what happened when, who, and how.
But that's the first we've heard of it.
Why they didn't, I don't know.
No one in the White House was aware.
This happened on my watch. I do not accept responsibilities for all the actions.
But I did not know any of the details at that time.
I wouldn't say nobody's saying that. But the... or at least suggesting it.
You were there, though.
I was there.
I've decided to follow my counsel's advice and not testify or answer any of the questions today.
What day did the conversation take place?
I'd have to look back at my notes on that, sir.
You've got notes on that?
I'd have to try to find them.
Do you have notes or don't you have notes?
I don't know.
I first learned about it from the same news report.
I have not done anything wrong.
What I continue to believe is that ultimately the buck stops with me. I'm going to be accountable.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hotze, President of Conservative Republicans of Texas. You have a great opportunity to advance free enterprise by voting for Bob Hall for State Senate District 2. Bob is a successful businessman with a proven conservative track record. Bob is the pro-life, pro-family, pro-gun, anti-tax, free enterprise conservative in the race. Bob Hall will be a leader in the Senate in the fight against illegal immigration, reckless government spending, and tax increases on the citizens of Texas. So I'm proud to endorse and support Bob Hall for election to the Texas Senate in the upcoming Republican primary. And I urge every conservative Republican to rally and vote to elect Bob Hall. Please join the Hall campaign team today. Visit his website, like him on Facebook, make a donation, and while you're at it, tell a friend. Thank you, and God bless Texas.
And you're listening to The Michael Behrman Show on conservativenationmedia.com. All right, it's 3 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Michael Behrman on The Michael Behrman Show on conservativenationmedia.com. You can find us at conservativenationmedia.com. Phone number 718-305-7176. Give us a call. We'll actually try to get you in today if we can, but folks, I just can't make any promises. Scott, it's my another great honor. Look, I've known this guy for 3 years. We stood in front of the Alamo 3 years ago with Ray Myers and a lot of other great Patriots. He's driven over from East Texas to our little Tea Party group here in Keller, Boiling Point. He's running for Senate District 2. He's running against Bob Dole, a Rhino Republican. We've got, folks, if we're going to make effective change in Austin, we've got to do so with candidates that understand what we want. And one of those individuals is my friend, Bob Hall. Bob, how are you doing today?
Michael, I'm doing fantastic. Very good. Appreciate you having us on. This is really an honor. I'm humbled by the invitation and this opportunity.
Well, Bob, look, as I've been telling everybody that's been on today, and you've heard the show, you know who's been on. I'm not going to, you know, because I want to give our candidates as much time as we can. My three bullet points: how does Senator Bob Hall help us? Because I'm an immigration hound. Scott's question will be education, but I'll let him ask that. And then in the short 13 minutes we have today, we're sitting at my mom's house on Eagle Mountain Lake, or we're sitting out there at your ranch in East Texas. It's just a grassroots Republican conservative sitting around. You got 100 folks, people that don't know Bob Hall, and I just want them to get to know the Bob Hall I know. So three bullet points: immigration, and then Scott will ask you his question.
Okay. Well, to start off with, Texas can do a lot. Our legislators in the last several years have abdicated their responsibility to step up and protect the people of Texas. That is their number one job. First, to protect the people of Texas from the overreach of the federal government, then to protect the people, good people of Texas, from the bad people. And we have policies here in Texas that we can control. The federal government, it is their responsibility to take care of the border, but they're not going to do it. We have a responsibility to protect the people, and we can do that. We can do it by, first of all, reducing the shutting down the magnets, the attractive things that bring the illegals here, such as the Sanctuary Cities Bill that we need so desperately to have passed. We need to have E-Verify. We need to stop giving social services to illegal aliens and medical services beyond emergency life-saving. We need to have English as the official language of Texas, which would save us hundreds of millions of dollars in what we have to produce in documents in multiple languages. If we did all of that, we could then use the money that's saved to make our border secure, to provide the men and equipment down there to stop the illegal aliens from coming into the state. So we wouldn't have to look at more money or to increase taxes in any way at all. And if for some reason that wasn't enough, we have money that is wasted, that the state government is spending on things it has absolutely no business spending money on, such as giving $100 million a year to the producers in Hollywood to come here and make a movie. We ought to charge them. This is Texas. We ought to charge them to come here, not pay them. $250 million going to the owners of Formula One Racing to bring their race cars here. And the list goes on and on of things that could be done to fund it.
Well, Bob, you know, well, first of all, real quickly, you know, when you get to the Senate, because you will be the next senator from East Texas, when you get there, and all of the candidates who've been on today, you know that I will push message for you. But With that said, I want my buddy Scott Osborne that lives out your way. He's got a question for you on education, and then Bob, I want to give you what time we have left. Just again, we're sitting on the back porch. You've got 100 people sitting right in front of you in rocking chairs, and I just want them to know the Bob Hall that I know. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Hall, it's so good to have you on the show. It's an honor to have each one of our people that are running, because this is an important year. And we want to send you to Austin. We want you to send you to Austin to do exactly what you just said, protect Texans. I moved to California. I helped my sister move our three young girls, my three nieces. I'm a full-time uncle/parent to my three nieces. We moved down here to protect them from Common Core. We moved down here to protect them from C-Scope, because last year we heard that C-Scope was knocked over in Texas. It was gone. And I get down here, and to be honest with you, I'm dealing more with Common Core here in Texas, in Mesquite, Texas, than I was in California. We were dealing with it basically in the meetings there. We're dealing with it in the school here. So my question is, when we get you into Austin, when you're standing in that state house, what does Bob Hall do to make sure we rip this thing out by its roots? What do we do to make sure that we spray Roundup all over this sucker? How do we protect Texas permanently from this invasion? You know, Common Core was designed to institutionalize what the left has been doing in our schools for decades. I equate it to illegal immigration. They've been illegally poking this stuff into our schools. Now they just want to make it legal. So what do we do to absolutely rip this thing out by its roots, get rid of it permanently, not just move around the deck chairs?
Oh, I agree with you completely, Scott. I've been in the fight against C-Scope from the very beginning, put together presentations and went and talked to school board members and superintendents throughout East Texas, trying to get them to remove it from the school. Fortunately, in a number of schools in East Texas, they either had just removed it just prior to that or soon thereafter, because they found that it did not do what it was supposed to be doing, and they recognized it for what it was. So I agree with you. Common Core is just another version of it's the leftist liberals commandeering to it's more of an indoctrination is what it is. It's not education, and we have to continue what was just barely started in the last legislature to get it out of our state. The legislature needs to take a strong position to make sure that the school districts, while I believe in local control and I believe in parental participation in our schools, we have to make sure that these school system, local school systems, do not circumvent what Perry did when he said no Common Core in Texas. Well, they just changed the name on it and started selling the products directly to the school systems. We have got to prevent that from happening. But one of the things that will help do that is more local control and more choices. When students and parents have a choice, like Connie was talking about, and she and I agree on these issues. Matter of fact, I agree almost everything with Connie. I do agree with Connie on everything she's had to say. We're very compatible, and I know we'll work well together down there. But we have to give these parents and kids more choice, and so that they move away from these schools. They have the opportunity. Unfortunately, with the system we have now, too many students are trapped in the schools they're in, and they're not able to move.
Well, and Bob, you know, we've got so much we have to do. Obviously, you're going to have a lot on your table. On your table when you get down to Austin, we've got immigration problems. That, you know, immigration, you know, I'm a firm believer that as goes Texas, so goes America. I love my, you and I both love our Tejano brothers and sisters, folks that have come from all over the country that got here legally. That did so legally. We've got that battle. We've got education. We've got fiscal. We've got to get rid of leadership in the House, which I know you won't have anything to do with. Hopefully, I'm hoping that you'll be underneath a president of the Senate, Dan Patrick. we've got so many issues. And look, Texas is blessed, Bob. We're far better off than a lot of other states. But we've got work to do still yet, and we lead the way for the rest of America. I'm sure you believe, or you know, elaborate if you can, in the last few remaining minutes we have before we bring on John Ratcliffe in the 4th Congressional District, on, you know, as goes Texas, so goes America. I mean, we've got to lead the way. What are Bob Hall's thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. Texas is the leader in conservatism. The conservative movement, the Tea Party movement, which I came out of, and I'm just an ordinary citizen. I am going to be a citizen servant who goes down there to serve the people for a while and then goes home. I am not looking for another career. And I think that will make a big difference in how I approach legislation and what needs to be done, because my motivation is to pass legislation that is good for the people and to oppose legislation that is bad for the people, not for the lobbyists and not for the folks who try to influence it for their special interest. We've got to change that. We've got to stop that and lead the way for the nation to see that grassroots candidates can get to their capital and can be a servant legislator. I'm going up against an incumbent, as you well know, well entrenched, well funded. He has served the lobbyist well, and he's had lots of money. I mean, he'll outspend us probably 30 or 40 to 1. But the grassroots folks are what's behind our candidacy. And I think that we're going to show that we can truly make a difference.
Well, Bob, you know, I'll say the same thing to you that I'll say to any of the candidates we've had on, or our next candidate, John Ratcliffe, who's going up against Ralph Hall in Congressional District 4. You know, the primary was the base of where we've drawn the lines. The runoff is who will crawl over broken glass for their candidate. And within our respective districts, I think we're looking at a Senator Bob Hall. That is votebobhall.com. Bob, just real quickly, 15 seconds, and then I've got to hit this hard break.
Okay, yes, if you would go to our website, votebobhall.com, and donate. We'll take our candidacy is built on $5, $25, $50, $100 donations. And volunteer. We are all volunteers. So use your help. Facebook page is Vote Bob Hall. Campaign page is votebobhall.com. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you, Bob. Give my best to Ray. I'll talk to you later, brother. All right.
Okay.
This is the Michael Behrman Show here on conservativenationmedia.com. We're going to hit this hard break. We're coming out of it with my friend, the next congressman from the 4th Congressional District in Texas, who's running against Ralph Hall, who's going to his 19th term in Congress. Ralph's a good guy, but it's time for a change. We're coming back in out of the top of this break with John Ratcliffe. Stand by.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
For the average person, many of folks who don't have health insurance initially, you know, they're going to have to make some choices, and they might end up having to switch doctors.
If you like your doctor or healthcare plan, you can keep it.
The average person, they're going to have to make some choices, might end up having to switch doctors.
If you're happy with what you got, nobody's changing it.
They're going to have to make some choices, might end up having to switch doctors.
No matter how we reform healthcare, we will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period.
They might end up having to switch doctors. They're going to have to make some choices.
If you like the doctor you have, you can keep your doctor too.
To switch doctors.
The only change you'll see are falling costs as our reforms take hold.
You may find out that that network's more expensive than another network, and then you've got to make a choice for, in terms of what's right for your family.
Nobody is talking about reducing Medicare benefits.
You know, they're going to have to make some choices, and they might end up having to switch doctors.
He's fighting to repeal Obamacare.
Who is?
John Ratcliffe, going to stop reckless spending and oppose amnesty for illegal aliens.
We need new leadership in Washington. What's his name again?
John Ratcliffe, former U.S. attorney, defended the Constitution, kept us safe from terrorist threats, and fought fraud and corruption.
Are y'all talking about John Ratcliffe?
Yep, sure would like to meet him.
You just did. Call me John. I'm John Ratcliffe, and I approve this message.
And you're listening to The Michael Behrman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
This is the Michael Behrman Show. It is 19 minutes after the top of the hour here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. The phone number is 718-305-7176. We do have on for the 4th Congressional District, John Ratcliffe. Folks, let me tell you about this, and I want to thank you for joining us today, by the way. John is running against Ralph Hall. Ralph has been in Congress for, he's going on his 19th term. Ralph is not a bad guy. This isn't about change for change's sakes. This is about, it's time for Ralph to enjoy the rest of his life. He's 90 years old. We need new leadership. We need young blood. And John Ratcliffe in the 4th Congressional District here in North Texas is the man that we need up there. Now, before I bring John on, folks, I want you to go to ratcliffeforcongress.com and check him out. I want you to tweet for him at RatcliffeTX4. John's a good guy. He's been running in our circles for as long as I've been running in these circles. John, I want to thank you for joining us today. We've got two questions for you, but mainly, as I've told everybody else, we're sitting up at my mom's and my dad's house on Eagle Mountain Lake. There's 100 or 200 conservatives from the Metroplex sitting around you. You're getting to know them one-on-one. That's what today's about. John Ratcliffe in the 4th Congressional District, in the swamp pit that we call D.C. What I want to know, my question for you is, John, do we support a change in leadership in the House? And then Scott's got a question for you, and then I just want you to get to know the audience. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Michael, hey, great to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation. Really a pleasure for all your listeners for me to be here as well. So for those that don't know me, my background does include I served as the United States Attorney for East Texas under President Bush. And before that, I served as the Anti-Terrorism Director and National Security Director for President Bush. So to answer your question, Michael, about leadership issues. Yeah, I've talked about that on the campaign trail, and frankly, that's one of the things that my opponent, Congressman Hall, has used to beat me up a little bit. He's gone to Speaker Boehner and the establishment leadership for the GOP, and basically said, you don't want this guy. He's a troublemaker. He's talked about needing better leadership from the GOP, and I really do. I mean, Michael. The point is, one of the reasons I'm in this race is it's been really frustrating for me the last 5 years watching President Obama, frankly, outwork, outsmart, and outmaneuver our own GOP leadership in Washington. And if we expect to get better results, we need better leadership. And that's one of the reasons I'm in this race. And I do think that goes all the way to the top. As Republicans, we need better leadership in Washington, and that's one of the reasons I'm hoping to be there to represent everyone.
Well, John, I'm not in your district, but I'm one of those people that doesn't believe that politics is local. I believe that politics transcends my Senate District 12, my House District 93, which is Matthew Krause.
Sure,
You know, it transcends that, because what happens in Congressional District 4 affects me in Congressional District 12. I'd love to see someone – maybe I need to do it. Maybe I need to go up against Kay. But that aside, I don't want to badmouth Ralph, but you just hit on it. I mean, he goes with leadership. He's been there. He's going. It's going on. This would be his 19th term. You have run a grassroots camp. You have obviously the folks of the 4th Congressional District. Enough of them have put you into a runoff with Ralph that says, you know, it's time for him to run off into the sunset. We don't really want to badmouth Ralph, but he has voted against or voted along party lines, and you know. John, I'm a people guy. I'm a grassroots conservative. I want change. I don't want people that are going to just go along to get along, as Sam Rayburn used to say.
Absolutely, and that's really you know, the 4th Congressional District, Michael, presents just a tremendous opportunity for those of us that want to affect real change. It is rated the 12th most conservative district in the country out of 435. It's an R+25 for those that follow politics and know what those ratings mean. It's very conservative, which means that the 4th Congressional District won't just tolerate but will embrace someone who can push for real conservative reforms on fiscal and social issues, not just someone that votes a certain way. And, you know, to echo your comments, Michael, you know, as I go through the district, people say, I like Ralph Hall. I do. But I think he's been there too long, and it is time for a change. And, you know, this district that I'm seeking to represent presents the kind of opportunity that, you know, that Ted Cruz has done in this country, you know, for all of us that believe in a grassroots movement and really affecting change. Is, you know, I talk about this all the time, is that, you know, Ralph Hall is a nice guy, but outside of the 4th Congressional District, no one knows his name because he's not a champion or a fighter for liberty and for freedom. And you know, someone like Ted Cruz in just 9 months really dictated the dialogue up on Capitol Hill as the least senior member up there. And so, you know, I think that there's an opportunity for me to come in, even as a freshman, in the district that I'm in, and to and really be that kind of fighter and that kind of voice, and to help Senator Cruz and those that want to affect real change. And frankly, that's why I've gotten the endorsements of the most conservative groups like Club for Growth and the Madison Project and others. And so we're real optimistic, as you said, Michael. 55% of the people in the 4th Congressional District in the primary voted against Congressman Hall, and we don't see that changing between now and May 27th.
Well, and look, this is the Michael Berryman Show. We've got John Ratcliffe running for the 4th Congressional District. You can find him at ratlifforcongress.com. His Twitter is ratlifftx4. And before I hand it over to Scott, John, I want to touch on what you just said. I think that Senator Cruz has redefined conservatism. I think he's redefined And with all due respect to Senator Cornyn, I think this is why he got a challenge. I think this is why Lindsey Graham's got a challenge with Nancy Mace and some others, and Mitch McConnell up there in Kentucky with Matt Bevin. Conservatism has been redefined. So I can expect to see a congressional representative, John Ratcliffe, who's speaking out, because, you know, I never see Ralph Hall. I never see him. I want that interface kind of, we're going to change the way politics is done in Washington, D.C. And I know this because you and I have talked, but that's what we can expect from a congressional district representative, John Ratcliffe.
You can, and, you know, one of the things that evidences that, why people don't have to take my word for it, Michael, is I've already gone on record. I'm going to term limit myself. I'm going to pursue term limits legislation, but even if it doesn't pass, I'm going to term limit myself. And the point there is to show people that I'm not going up there to be a go-along to get-along guy so that 16 years from now I can be the chairman of some committee. I think if you don't care about that stuff and you go up untethered from that notion like Ted Cruz has done, and you're just willing to speak your mind and literally represent and speak for the people that have sent you up there on those issues, and you cut yourself off from all lines of retreat, your voice really can be heard, and that's the kind of congressman that I'll be.
I love it. I love it, John, and I love you, brother. Scott, we've got a couple of minutes before we bring in Steve Toth from the Senate District. Bada boom, bada bing. I don't got it written down. Four, I believe. But go ahead. Go your question for John, and then we've got to hit this break.
Hey, John, it's good to have you on.
Yeah, thanks, John.
I've said this a dozen times, I think, now in the last 2 hours, but I'm a full-time uncle slash parent, and we moved here from California the end of December, specifically to get away from Common Core, specifically because last year C-Scope was supposedly pushed over here in Texas, but basically the deck chairs were rearranged, and this is huge to me. I believe it's very important. When we get you into Austin, Texas, when we get you to Congress, what do we do to do exactly what you've been saying? They're outmaneuvering us on Common Core. They're outmaneuvering us on C-Scope. What do we do to protect Texas? What do we do to get better leadership to make sure that we rip this thing out by the roots, we throw Roundup on it, and that Texas doesn't have to deal with this atrocity of C-Scope, Common Core? We're dealing with it. I'm dealing with it more in the schools here in Texas than I was in California, which is insanity to me. What do we do when we get next year? How do we get rid of this entirely?
Yeah, so, there's a few issues that are more important than the education of our children. So, the first thing is you've had some fantastic people on the show earlier today that can address the issue from in Austin as your legislators at the state level. So at the federal level, as a representative in Congress next year, true to my limited government belief, I think there's a whole bunch of programs out there and, frankly, a whole bunch of agencies that we don't need. So I'm going to make it real easy on you, Scott. First of all, I don't believe we need a Department of Education. It wasn't formed until 1979. The Department of Education was, frankly, a campaign stunt of Jimmy Carter when he was running from behind against Ronald Reagan. I am a believer, a big believer in the 10th Amendment and on issues of education. Those are, frankly, better handled at the state and local level. And so the federal government ought to be out of that business altogether. And I think, the recent No Child Left Behind was it had noble intent, but it didn't work. I mean, clearly the statistics reflect that. Frankly, those issues, I think one of the things that I would push for is to allow states to opt out of No Child Left Behind. One of the problems that we have in this country, in Texas we're blessed that we don't have many unions, but in education throughout this country at the federal level, one of the things that's killing education throughout this country are teachers' unions. We've got teacher unions that have so much power that essentially we can't get rid of the teachers that, we can't reward the teachers that are doing a good job and we can't punish the teachers that are doing a bad job because of the teachers' union. But so I think all of those things, I would be in favor. I think there's other, frankly, federal agencies that, given the opportunity, I think we could do without the IRS and others. But on the education issue, as little as the federal government can be involved in our educational issues, the better off we are as Americans.
Well, I thank you for that, and I apologize. I had you in Austin, Texas, instead of Washington, D.C., where you're going to be. But I love that answer because it is local. And, that's one of our biggest problems. We started out, Michael and I started out, talking about Frederick Douglass Republicans. We're both Frederick Douglass Republicans because we believe that the federal government cannot micromanage when it all comes down to it. And you got my support. We're going to be helping you as much as we can. I don't want to see you at 90 years of age still in Washington, D.C. You know what I mean? And so I like your answers on that. Pass it back to Michael.
John, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it, brother. Look,
you bet.
When you get to D.C., you've got a voice in the conservative grassroots movement on my show. You let me know. I'll pass any message you need done. Thank you for so much for joining us today. This is John Ratcliffe in the 4th Congressional District. RatlifeForCongress.com. John, just real quickly, 30 seconds, and then we're going into this hard break, and we're bringing in Steve Toth.
Hey, thank you so much, Michael and Scott. Just a fantastic show. I'm so grateful for all the work that you're doing. And again, to everyone out there, thank you for the support going forward. We are in a historic runoff, and I think that the results on May 27th are going to give us a chance to make real changes in Washington for those of us that have been fighting for real change for so long. If you believe, as I do, if you're pro-life, pro-gun, limited government, conservative, who really believes in defending the Constitution, then I'd like to have your support.
Amen, brother. Thanks so much. This is the Michael Behrman Show. It's 33 minutes after the top of the hour, 718-305-7176. You can find us at conservativenationmedia.com. We're going to take this hard break. We're coming out of that with my friend, my brother from another mother, Representative Steve Toth, running in the Senate District 4. We'll be right back.
Inside Russia.
He still does have a lot of power with countries like Syria, countries like Iran. That could come back to haunt the U.S.
Well, I don't think that we would consider them an ally.
The Cold War has been over for 20 years.
In Crimea.
But we don't consider them an enemy.
They believe he's a reformer.
And you said Russia, not Al-Qaeda.
A red line for us is we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons.
Now in Egypt, where the president has a tough statement.
This is going to be a rocky path.
What will come next in the Syria crisis?
At this point, not ordered military.
The message has been muddled.
It's incoherent.
And in the midst of the most dire crisis in Europe.
Well, we won't let you do that to us.
It's supposed to be a reset button.
I mean, that red reset button moment. How'd that go?
How's that work out?
You get this wrong.
The State Department got it a little bit wrong.
I got it wrong.
Chilling standoffs now unfolding at military bases.
Are you concerned that America's influence in the world, your influence in the world, is on the decline?
What we're looking at right now is nothing less than a potential total collapse of the U.S.-Russian relationship.
And you're flirting with disaster on the Michael Behrman Show. Conservative Nation Media. All right, and this is the Michael Behrman Show on conservativenationmedia.com. The phone number is 718-305-7176. We've got my brother from another mother running in East Texas, Senate District 4, Representative Steve Toth. Steve, my friend, you know, my sister Michelle Smith, Morgan McComb, they've been down there. They drove down from North Texas. You know I brag a lot about Matthew Krause, but next to Matthew Krause and the other gang, Tarrant County Gang of Five, which would be Matthew Krause, Stephanie Click, Giovanni, Craig Goldman, actually it's more than that, Bill Zedler, it's going
to
include Tony Tenderholt.
I've been trying to get those guys to adopt me.
Well, Steve... I've been following you for a couple of years, brother. You are right. You are amongst the grassroots conservative leadership. I appreciate everything you've done in Austin, and it's my great honor to have you on today. You're running for Senate District 4. Look, we're going to make it clean and simple. I've got a question. Scott's got a question. And then we're sitting on the back porch on Eagle Mountain Lake or – I don't know, over on the Sabine or somewhere, I don't know, over in your part of Texas, and we've got 100, 200 grassroots conservatives. I want them to get to know the Steve Toth. My question for you, Senator Toth, I'm an immigration hawk. I think demographics are changing. We don't need 15 million undocumented Democrats in the state, let alone the country. How does Steve Toth handle that? Then I'll turn it over to Scott, and then I just want you to have a dialogue with our audience.
Sure. You know, I think there are a lot of – we've got a lot of things that we can do, and we can do really well. And unfortunately, the state of Texas is just playing a blind eye to the whole deal right now and is not doing really anything. And I lay that at the feet of our speaker and our lieutenant governor that have kowtowed to the Democrats, because the Democrats love having this as an issue for the Republican Party. But when you talk to the Democrats that live along the border, they want a solution. They do not want a destabilized southern border of the United States. They want it secured. They want it safe. And, you know, the reality is that roughly three out of ten young men that go over to Afghanistan and Iraq are coming from Texas. And they're coming back here to Texas, and we're doing a very bad job of reintegrating them into civilian life. I serve on the board of directors for a ministry called Mighty Oaks, and we help these guys reintegrate. We love them and care for them and counsel them on how to come back once they've endured what they've endured and overcoming the challenges of post-traumatic stress disorder. And my solution is that we take these guys and we deploy them on the southern border of Texas, and we continue to pay them. And while they're also counseled to really triage what level of problems they're having with post-traumatic stress disorder, if any, while at the same time helping them maintain that sense of unit cohesion, which that's one of the problems that these guys have when they come back here. They lose unit cohesion. They lose that sense of purpose. They lose that sense of mission. Those are all the things that the Army and Air Force, Navy, Marines instilled in these guys when they went over there, and they've lost all of it very quickly. And they lose their identity in the midst of it. And I just think it's an exciting way to bless these guys while at the same time, too, absolutely closing the southern border, which we can do.
Steve, excuse me. I mean, I call you Steve, Representative Toth.
Call me Steve.
I know you've told me that before. Senator Patrick tells me that. Everybody tells me that. And just you and I'll call you that. But in the formality of the realm that we're in right now, Representative Toth, I, first of all, as a veteran, I thank you because, you know, you're the only candidate. I mean, you're the only one, not to disregard any of the candidates that we've had on today, but you're one that stands up for my band of brothers and sisters and talks about what we can do with them in so far securing our liberty. And I really do appreciate that. I'm going to hand it over to Scott. He's going to ask you a question, and then I just really, Representative Toth, I want people to get to know you the way our friends know you, John, over there in Montgomery County, and all of those folks out there in East Texas that know you the way, you know, that I know you. That's what today's show is about, just – it's not about hardballing or softballing. It's just about it's backyard chat. But go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Steve. It's good to talk to you. I found something out about you
this week
that I really appreciate. I've been teaching Old Testament history for 30 years. And I saw a statement that you made about the Old Testament being a series of credit card payments before it was paid off on the cross. And I want to tell you.
You've been talking with Adam.
I've been talking with Adam, and I'm looking forward to hearing that interview when he posts it, because I'm a firm believer in us understanding that Old Testament. It builds character, but I thank you for that. I want to ask you the same thing I've been asking now for almost 3 hours. We moved here 3 months ago. I'm a full-time uncle slash parent for my three beautiful nieces who are all 12 years and under. We moved here for one reason. That was to escape Common Core. That was to get rid of worrying about Common Core and C-Scope, because last year we understood that Texas pushed C-Scope over. And I get down here to Mesquite, Texas, and I'm dealing more with Common Core and those issues that surround parental sovereignty here than I was in California. So I'm kind of discouraged about that. I still love being in Texas. I'm a proud Texan. Michael will tell you that. But what do we do from here on out? What do we do as representative right now? What do we do next year when we send you to the Senate to rip this thing out by the roots, to put a border around Texas where they can't get in and continue to do not only Common Core and C-Scope, but anything related to that? What are we going to do to give the parents sovereignty back over their kids? I'll tell you, my sister is afraid to pull her child out of school one day. I'm homeschooling too. We've got one in public school. She's a straight A student. I took the kids to the zoo a few weeks back, and she didn't feel like she could even call and get Millie out on a Friday to go to the zoo with her sisters. She's afraid CPS is going to come knocking on the door. We never were afraid of that in California. So what do we do to go on further to parental sovereignty and to, I mean, wipe this sucker out? I want Roundup on the roots with Common Core, C-Scope in our schools and protect our parental sovereignty.
Well, you've got to look at the purveyors of it first, Thomas Ratliff being one of them, and Thomas Ratliff needs to just leave the State Board of Education, and we need to do whatever we need to do, including the whole impeachment process of removing him. He is the purveyor, one of the purveyors of C-Scope, and he's a problem, and he's not being truthful and honest about what's contained in C-Scope. And every time I sit down with parents that believe or have listened to him, and I educate them about what's really in it and show them the proof from the Senate hearings, they're dismayed to hear that this is going on in Texas. But honestly, if we want to get rid of it, we've got to get rid of the education service centers. These are nothing more than a retirement home for flunky or failed superintendents. And when I was in the House this past year, I was sharing my displeasure about what was going on in these education service centers. And one of my fellow members of the House said, "Oh, they're you know, they do a lot of good things for ISDs." And I said, "Really? What are they?" And he named a few things like payroll and different things like that. And I said, "You know, there are companies out there in the private sector that can already do that for a whole lot less." And he goes, "Well, these guys make nothing, and you know, the director of RESC makes like $50,000 or $60,000." And I said, "I'll call him Bob." I said, "Bob, I know what your guy makes. Here's a list. I've got a list right here of all the ESC directors, and yours is making around $186,000 a year." There's no way. And I handed the list to him that, you know, that we got a hold of, that we subpoenaed to find out what, you know, what the payroll was for these guys. It is just an amazing waste of money. And when you throw that much money at people and there's no accountability for what they're doing, then this is the kind of garbage that we're going to get in our schools.
I love that answer. I'll tell you, Steve, I've been following you. You were one of many that Michael said, "You got to look at this candidate." You just went from up to the top of my list for support. I'm going to give you every bit of help that I can. It's important. This is huge. If they get a hold of our students and they get a hold of the sovereignty of the parent, this is Obamacare. Common Core is Obamacare for our educational system.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Sorry, go ahead.
The left's been trying to do this for a long time. Now they want to institutionalize it. And once they've done that, it's just like Obamacare. Once they've done this, we can't get rid of it. It won't matter if you move from California to Texas. So I thank you for that. I'm looking forward to supporting you. I love our common love of that Old Testament. Looking forward to getting to know you better. And thanks for your hard work. Michael, I'll pass it back to you.
Well, thank you, Scott. Steve, Representative Toth, I want to thank you for joining us today. Folks, you can find Steve Toth at stevetothfortexas.com. I encourage you to support Steve in Senate District 4 here in Texas. It's also at Toth_4_Texas. Steve, thank you so much, my brother, for joining us today. You know you have my undying support, even though I can't vote for you. Once you get to the Senate, I'll do for you as I've done as a representative for all of the candidates, all of the representatives I support. I am your conduit for what you need pushed, just like I am for Matthew and Gio and Stephanie and Bill and soon-to-be Representative Tony Tinderholt. So, you know, I'm there for you. Just really quick, in 30 seconds, just tell the folks where they can find you, et cetera, Steve.
Yeah, folks, we need for you guys to get engaged. Two-thirds of the House, two-thirds of the Senate are Republicans. They call themselves conservatives. and we need to get activists elected. And that starts with the grassroots stepping up, speaking up, and acting up. And you can reach me at steve@stevetelfortexas.com. We need your help. We've had a ton of people out there walking right now and doing a great job for us, and we're so thankful for all their hard work. And we just want to be a blessing to Texas and help and serve in any way that we can. And we so appreciate you, Michael, and everything that you're doing to be the grassroots voice for us.
Well, brother, I appreciate it, and I love you, man, and I'll talk to you later.
Lord bless you.
All right. That was Steve Toth, folks. We're going to go into this break, and then we're coming out with my brother, a band of brothers, who's going to talk to us about the rally in Corsicana next week, Ralph Gonzalez. We'll be right back. Stand by.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
All right. Texas Patriots, this is Michael Behrman of the Michael Behrman Show of ConservativeNationMedia.com urging you to join me on April 12th in Corsicana from 10 to 4 at the I Do Not Consent Party that's hosted by our friends at the Hill County Tea Party Group, at the Navarro County Tea Party Group, as well as the Freestone County Tea Party Group and the Anderson County Tea Party Group, as well as the Conservative Society of Navarro County. This is going to be a great event. You don't want to miss it. Many great speakers. Dwayne Stovall, Thelma Tormina, Pastor Stephen Broden, Andrew Chevarella, Dory O'Brien, Jerry Donaldson, Joanne Fleming, our very own Kathy Adams, Frank Kuchar's the MC and the speaker, as well as your humble correspondent, Michael Behrman. Please join us next Saturday in Corsicana for this great event. And let's send a message to Santa Ana D. Barack Obama that we do not consent.
And we want to thank all of our listeners who are sitting out there right now listening to this. Mike will be right back with our next guest. You know, I love Texas. And next weekend, we are going to have an incredible rally down in Corsicana. We're going to talk about that for a little while. Mike? Going to, I think, Michael, we're on the, we're hearing phone.
How you doing, Michael? How you doing, Michael?
Hey, Ralph, what's going on, brother?
I'm ready, brother.
Hey, sorry about that. I'm calling you live. I saw that you tried to call in, Scott. Sorry about that, brother. I didn't. That's just the way this way the cookie rumbles. Scott, this is my brother from another mother, 20-year plus veteran of the Armed Forces, Conservative Society of Navarro County. Next Saturday, Scott. I'm coming to pick you up Friday night. We're going to go down. We got us a hotel room. We're going to go out and have some Rita's and a steak with our brother Ralph. But Saturday morning, 10 to 4, the I Do Not Consent rally in Corsicana, Navarro County, Texas. My home, my friend Carol Doucette. That's my sister. My sister from another mister. She is going to be, she's part of Navarro County. We got Beverly Chabanian. We've got the Freestone County Tea Party, Anderson County Tea Party. Ralph, tell us a little bit about what's going on next week. Tell us about Conservative Society of Navarro County. We've got a great lineup next week. We've had a great show today, and this is what it's all about. This is freedom and work, brother.
Oh, you bet. You bet, Michael. I'm excited about this rally. We have got a great group of people, speakers, a great lineup, Frank Kuchar. We've got Kathy Adams. We've got several other good people. And we owe it all to the folks who have been working hard and put a lot of dedication in getting this rally put together in such a short notice. And, you know, my hat's off to them. You know, they have a belief, and that's a conservative belief, and we're going forward.
Well, Ralph, you know, you and I, we floated around in Texas for years now in the same circles. We're brothers. We both served. By the way, Scott, Ralph Scott, you guys get to know one another. We'll see you Friday night, brother. We'll go out and have a steak and all that good stuff. And I'll be speaking from about 10:55 to about 11:20. I'm doing my opening monologue was part of the speech that I'm doing next Saturday. Like you said, Frank Koshar is emceeing. We got Kathy Adams. There's a great list of speakers. This is going to be one of the best Tea Party rallies probably since my brother Eric Adams did his Tea Party rally 4 years ago down in front of the Alamo, excuse me. But we're going to do it right there in Corsicana. I need to get the name of the park and all that stuff from you. But, you know, Conservative Nation Media is going to be there. We're going to be live streaming the event on our website. We've got your society, Conservative Society of Navarro County. We've got Navarro County Tea Party group with Carol Doucette and her folks. We've got the Hill County Tea Party group. We've got the Anderson County Tea Party group. We've got the Freestone County Tea Party group. I mean, this is going to be a huge event, Ralph. There's just no two ways about it. And it's going to be a beautiful, gorgeous early or should I say late spring day in Texas. I'm going to be there in my kilt with my face painted and my boots and my hat and all, like I do at all the Tea Party groups. But aside from me, this is an event that going into our May 27th runoff is an event that nobody wants to miss.
No, they do not. Let me tell you something. This event is going to be one event that people should not miss, period. And that includes the candidates. You know, we've invited the candidates to come. They may not be able to speak, but you know what? They're there. They're going to be there. And if that doesn't tell you something about the candidates who are running this year, then something's wrong, because that's what I call a true conservative candidate, because they care about what the people want. And you know, earlier you were talking to some of your guests, and I was listening, and it's all true. You know, the grassroots, conservative movement, Tea Party, whatever you want to call us, it's fine. But the bottom line is, let's do the right thing. Let's get the people involved, and let's let the people decide what our destiny is going to be.
Well, Ralph, look, you know, you're a strong brother of mine on multiple levels. I thank you and Beverly and Carol and the leadership of this rally for inviting me to speak. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Scott and I will be down there Friday night. We're going to get up together and, I don't know, go eat a steak or go eat some tacos or something. I'll give you a call when we get into Corsicana, but we're going to hang out Friday night, and then we'll get up Saturday morning and we'll get this event going. I thank you for joining us today. I hope everybody comes to Corsicana. What park is it at, and what's the website?
Okay, the park is at Buenard Park. It's also called the Freedom Flag Park. You can't miss it. It's off of I-45 and exit Texas Highway 31 here in Corsicana. The reason why I say you can't miss it, because there is a huge flag that flies. And that's why we call it the Freedom Flag Park. And it's just a great backdrop for what we're doing on that day. And I would also like to say that, you know, we want to thank you for having us, giving me this opportunity to be on your radio talk show. If it wasn't for you guys, the media, this rally wouldn't be known about. And you know, And with all the effort that everybody else, to Banyan, the Albrights, the Kings, the Bissettes, the Dottie Barneses, the Kelly Palmas, all those over in Anderson County, as you said before, it's going to be a great event. And I feel that we owe a lot of credit to all of these folks. And it's funny how it got started, Michael. It all got started just because of a motion that was brought forward by a chair member, and all of a sudden, now you've got four counties that are involved in one of the best, I think, all-around rallies that's going to happen.
Well, that's the way we roll in Texas, Ralph. But listen, we're about 15 seconds out. The show's going to end. Thank you all for joining us. I'm going to end this show with a song, but you'll only hear it in podcast. Ralph, I'll talk to you later, brother.
All right. Thanks a lot. Very much, Michael.
God bless America.
God bless America.
From the waitress at the diner to the kids playing down the street, to all of our servicemen, thank you for keeping us free. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, hell yeah, we're living free. It's plain to see, you ain't got to ask me. You know what color.